Talk Radio.
Well, 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 here we are again, and it's more nonsense and more senselessness and more idiots. How you doing? I guess that's the question. How you doing? 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Late Nights with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, well, well. Once again, you know, it's to plug in my computer in. I do apologise. We're having to deal with the aftermath of a bunch of idiots who have been absolute arseholes all weekend. For the first hour of the show, we'll kind of tread cautiously and carefully. And I've got two questions, really. Two questions after what happened on Saturday. One is, how the devil are you? Because I don't know if anyone's asked you today how you are. Everyone's been kind of, I don't know what everyone's been saying, but how the devil are you? How are you feeling after this weekend? Getting numb to it yet? Getting sick of it? Sicker of it? Unaffected by it? It's awful, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely awful. Let me tell you my Saturday night story, as though it has any relevance whatsoever. Well, it's very relevant to me. And you can share your Saturday night stories as well. I went with a couple of friends to the Barbican. I love the Barbican. It's about 3/4 of a mile away from London Bridge, by the way. And I love the Barbican. If you don't know the Barbican in London, what part of London is it in? Oh, yeah, it's in Barbican. And it's this really dated, I'm guessing it was made 60s. It's this incredibly dated looking theatre complex. And there are apartments there and there are galleries there. And it's this whole thing. And it's hideous. It really is one of the most hideous buildings in London. But I love it because of that. I love it for the fact it's so ugly. And at the time, it must have seemed like a modern architectural masterpiece. It must have been. When they drew up the plans for that, they said, we're going to build this. Everyone must have gone, wow, this is like the future. But it's a hideous place. It's got these sort of orangey browny carpets, and the theatre itself is really weird. We were kind of sort of up in a balcony, and it feels like the balconies are over, kind of the balcony above you is sort of in front of you. It's you've got a roof over your head, and each aisle, it's really hard to explain, each aisle has a door, and so the doors open automatically, so we knew when to applaud the show because the doors all opened. And it's just, I love it there. I've seen some amazing things there. The most amazing thing I think I saw at the Barbican went with my sister and her husband and her two kids when they were really young. And it was, and it sounds really pretentious, but it was brilliant. It was in this, in a smaller studio, and you went in. And there were, I think there was gravel on the floor or sand or something. And there were sort of branches coming out of pots. And there were about 15 electric guitars just standing there. And some were lying on the floor and some were leaned against, you know, up against guitar stands. And they were all plugged in to these different amps. And there must have been about 50 birds flying around inside this studio. And what would happen is, if they flew near the electric guitars, you'd get a bring. And sometimes they'd land on the electric guitars. And then they'd fly off and their claws would. Oh, and it was wonderful. absolutely wonderful. And if you stood still, the birds would land on you. It was incredible. One of the best things I've ever seen. And it's, and they kind of, it pops up from time to time. That's not what I went to see on Saturday night. On Saturday night, and it was a real rush. I was doing Virgin Radio. And I upset, by the way, guys, I upset the bosses at Virgin Radio because they'd left their Virgin Radio Twitter account open. So, you know, of course, I tweeted, Virgin Radio is proud to announce that from the 19th of June, Ian Lee will be the new breakfast host. And I kind of linked it to, I tweeted a couple of people, you know, a couple of people that that write about radio. And the children that work on Virgin Radio were not very happy. I got told off by someone who I think is still at school, I think. And it was deleted. Anyway, so I was doing that and it was kind of, it was a fun show, but I had to get from Waterloo, Virgin Radio, to Barbican, and the show started at 7.45 and I finished just before 7 and I got out and I was rushing and it was, I couldn't find somewhere to park and blah, 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 blah. You know how life is like. And I got there and I met my friends Conan and Ruth and they were eating and I said, well, you carry on eating. I'm going to go and get a coffee and then we'll meet and then we'll go in together. They said, fantastic. And I was going to go in, but the guy wouldn't let me in without the other two. Anyway, this play that we saw was absolutely incredible. I think it was called 887. I might have got that wrong. Or maybe it was 886. It doesn't really matter. It was by a French Canadian by the name of Robert Lepage. Now, I remember when I studied performing arts 20 odd years ago, Robert Lepage was one of the names that was spoken about as being this great theatrical innovator. And I don't think I've ever seen a Lepage show. I remember I had tickets to go and see him in Edinburgh one year, but they had to cancel it because he uses, he has two kind of disciplines. We'll get to the point in a minute. Trust me, 0344 499 1000 if you want to call in. He specialises in two disciplines. One is mime. And the other is he is famous for very intricate and often incredibly technical stage designs and props and things. And when I had tickets to see him in Edinburgh, they had to cancel it because the stage design was so intricate and so complicated, they couldn't get it to work. They couldn't get the machinery and all the bits and pieces he had to work. And so my friend Conan said, I've got a ticket. Do you want to come? I was like, yeah, definitely. I'll have some of that. And we went and it was 2.25 hours. It's on until the 10th of June. If you can get tickets for it, and there were a few empty seats when I was there. If you can get tickets, I thoroughly recommend you going. And I will even give you permission to ditch this show for the night, to go and see it, because it was incredible. It's a one-man show. It's just him. And straight away, he tricks you. He comes on stage, just walks on stage when the audience is still settling and the lights are still up. And he says, and he got a round of applause. And he said, before we start, I just want to ask if you've got mobile phones or pagers, got a bit of a laugh on pagers, if you could turn them off, because there's nothing more irritating than being in a show and a phone goes off or there's a buzz or someone's looking at the screen. And he kind of started this thing. And I noticed that very, very slowly the house lights were going down. I mean, really slowly. It took 5 minutes for them to go down. I thought, oh, we're in. This ain't no prelude. We are in. And it was the most incredible show. It was about him growing up and his family. And there was kind of a subtext about the history of Quebec in Canada, which I knew very little about. I did not know that in the 60s and 70s there was the Quebec Liberation Front, who wanted to break away from the English-speaking Canada and wanted to speak France and wanted to have closer ties with France. There were bombs and there was terrorism and there were people getting killed, you know, for this belief that Quebec should be a separate country. And I didn't know any of this. And I've been to Canada. And I love Canada. And there was a real, it divided families. He was talking about how his dad wanted them to speak English, and his mum wanted them to speak French, and they split the TV shows because the English speaking people who were in power in government wanted, you know, to kind of convert everyone to speaking English. Speak white is the refrain he kept returning to. Speak white, meaning speak English, don't speak French. It's a dirty language. And so they would show the same programmes in French and in English. And it was incredible. And people got murdered, you know, and there was anger and there was tension. And he talks about being a 12-year-old boy delivering the newspapers and the height of this terrorism. And an armed guard points a gun at his head and gets him to turn out all the papers on the floor, you know. And it was an amazing story. And what was particularly amazing about this performance was the set, was the intricate set. It was basically a doll's house that was about 7 feet high, because it was taller than him, and he's quite a tall man, and about 12 feet wide, okay? And it was the frontage of his apartment, block 887. And there were four windows on the left, four balconies, and four windows on the right. And as he introduced, he said, right, well, this is the apartment that we lived in. And he'd touch his phone, and suddenly in the window, you'd see him and his family moving about in the thing. And he'd say, and the apartment opposite is where the husband lived who had a drunk wife. And he'd swipe his phone, and you'd see people moving. I'm guessing that each window was an iPad or something. And you would see these people moving. And that was, you know, the first half an hour of the show was him talking about that. But then this set was incredible. It would then revolve around, and suddenly it became a modern apartment that he lived in, and he'd start speaking in French and there'd be subtitles. And then it revolved around again, and it was a library. And then he'd remove books from the library and you'd be able to see inside his apartment. It was incredible, right? From a technical point of view, it was incredible. Excuse me. From a performance point of view, it was incredible. And there were, for most of the show, 2.25 hours, I was sat forward in my seat, leaning forward so I could see everything and take it all in. I found it depressing. I find everything depressing, you know that. I found it depressing because it made me think of death a lot. It made me think we're all going to die, because he talks about his dad dying and his mum dying. You know, and I thought we're all going to die. And I also, it made me think of aging, because I'd remember seeing pictures of him from 20 years ago and he looked 20 years older. And I thought, God, he's not actually that much older than me. And I'm getting old and I'm feeling grey. It made me worry about the future that I'm leaving for my kids and for my boys, and you know, where it's going. It was. I'm going to say something, and it's going to sound so pretentious, but it's not pretentious because I mean it. It was spiritual, man. It was spiritual. It's what good art does. It makes you feel like, it makes me feel like I have connected with something in the universe. Now, by good art, I don't just mean a play. It can be a film, it can be a book, it can be a painting, it can be a statue, it can be Yesterday by the Beatles, it can be that one love song that everyone's, it can be anything, right? Art can be anything. And if it's really good, it is, you feel a spiritual connection. And I felt that with this show, Robert Lepage. It was incredible. The play ended, I came out, and my friend Conan turned to me and he said, wow, what did you think? And I said, I've never said this. I said, I can't talk to you about it. There's too much for me to process. And he understood that. And he went, oh, okay. And I said, I'm going to go home now because I need to think about what I've just seen. And he was like, all right, cool. Well, when you've thought about it, when you've digested it, give us a call, because I'd like, you know, we can have a chat about it. And I went and I sat in my car for a bit, not wanting to move, because I wanted to kind of enjoy the moment of having seen something great. I mean, it was astoundingly good. I've only ever had that experience once before after seeing a live show, and that was when I saw the Beatles Love, the Cirque du Soleil show in Las Vegas, where I came out and just thought, God, everything I've done is pointless. I think I tweeted that everything I've done so far in my life creatively is pointless compared to that. So I sat in my car for a bit and thought, and then I saw, then I got hungry and I saw there was a Tesco Express over the road. I thought, oh, got to buy some milk to take home and some bits and pieces. And this was about half 10. So I went into the Tesco Express and I got some milk and I got some chocolate. I'm trying not to eat chocolate, so I felt bad. And I got a sandwich and blah, 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 blah. And then I went and sat in my car. And then I thought, right, I should probably head back home now. And I thought, before I get head back home, I'll have a look at Twitter. And a few people saying, well, no, the stuff you have done isn't pointless. And then I saw a tweet from someone who tweets me quite a lot, Hannah, who was at the show, was in Birmingham yesterday, Saturday, Sunday, whenever it was, I don't remember, Sunday. And Hannah said something like, oh dear, have you seen what's happening in London? And I thought, oh, shit, not again. That was all I needed to see to think, not again, not again. And my heart sank because I just enjoyed, you know, which in the great scheme of things now seems trivial. I just enjoyed a spiritual connection, a connection with, I'm going to say it, God, a higher power, something greater than me, something greater than Robert Lepage, something greater than the set. I enjoyed a spiritual connection with something bigger than words. And I saw this tweet. Oh dear, have you seen what's happened in London? Oh man. And with great sorrow and regret, I went to Twitter Moments. That's where I get my news from these days. I'm an idiot. And I went to Twitter Moments thinking, oh, I hope it's not what I know it's going to be. And I went and it was there. It was unfolding that there was a situation. And, oh, geez. And I felt terrible. And Here's the thing. It was less than a mile from where I was. It was less than a mile. I looked on Google Maps. I think it was 0.7 of a mile away from where I was. And I turned on the radio and I sat in my car for about an hour. Listening to that horrible, horrible, the worst, and when I say the worst kind of reporting, I don't mean it as a criticism of the people that are doing it. I mean it as a criticism of the hideousness of the story. That thing where the presenter is saying, we're getting reports that there's been an incident in London Bridge. And I just sat there listening for an hour as it became more and more apparent what had happened, what was still happening at that point. And it just broke my heart. I stayed there about 45 minutes. I stayed there. And part of it was because I was just frozen with sadness. I don't know. Part of it was I was a little bit scared to drive off because you were getting reports that maybe things were happening elsewhere as well. And I thought, oh, geez, I don't want to drive off and get involved in this. So part of it was a little bit of fear, if I'm completely honest, and there's no shame in that. And part of it was a real sense of what is the point of all of this? What is the point of this? And I drove home and I listened to brave, scared souls phoning up the radio, and I heard some stories that broke my heart, and I heard some stories that made me laugh. Here's one that made me laugh, and it probably shouldn't have made me laugh, but we laugh sometimes for all kinds of weird reasons. It was a taxi driver phoned up and he said, I saw it happening. He said, I was in my cab. I had a passenger. I was coming over the bridge and I saw this fella leap out the back of a van with a long knife. And I said to my passenger, hold on tight, I'm going to turn round, I think I can hit him. And it made me laugh. It made me laugh out loud. And I don't know why. Out of sadness, out of fear, out of respect, out of, come on, you bastard, let's get... I don't know what it was out of, but it made me laugh. And it was wonderful to hear taxi driver, a black cab driver, speaking like a black cab driver does, speaking in a perfectly normal way about a completely extraordinary situation. I said to the passenger, hold on, I'm going to turn around, I think I can get him. Wow, he didn't get him. The guy jumped out of the way, and then he decided to... It was probably best if he drove off. And I was just listening with... I don't say this lightly. With tears in my eyes, driving home, thinking about my kids. If I'm completely honest, I was being selfish, and I was thinking about my kids. Thinking, what world have we created for the poor, innocent, pure souls that live at my house, that will be asleep, probably in my wife's bed, that will be asleep now? What world have we created for them? What are we giving to them? And it got me, man. It got me. It totally got me. I was in, they're so precious and they're so vulnerable. And I won't be around to protect them forever. You know, what world are we creating for them? And I sank. I really sank. Why am I telling you this? Because the boss said he wants us to talk about what happened. Talk about what happened. I offer an invitation. I make an invitation for you to call in and share your stories, if you want, about how... There's two questions, right, that I've got. One is, how are you feeling? 0344 499 1000. How are you feeling? It's a simple question. And you might not want to answer it. You might be talked out. That's absolutely fine. The other one is, and I'm slightly hesitant to ask this. Well, there's two more questions, actually. There's two more questions. The second one, I'm slightly hesitant to ask because there is a danger. It becomes... we become a sort of the radio that I don't like, where we all start pointing the finger and stuff. But I'm going to ask the question and we'll see how it goes, because I've really been thinking about this a lot over the weekend. Right. What do we do? What do we do? What do we do to stop it? What do we do? Genuinely, what do we do to stop idiots getting coked up? Because they're generally coked up, these people, when they go out and do... I don't know if these people were, but because it makes you fearless and makes you powerful. We stop these idiots driving people off the road and then jumping out with machetes and wearing fake... They were wearing fake suicide vests. You know why they were wearing that, don't you? So they'd be killed by the police. That's why they were wearing it. The police think there's a suicide belt. They're going to kill you. Boom. Unfortunate choice of words, but that's how I speak. What can we do to stop it? I know it's an open-ended question, but I'm kind of at my wit's end with all of this. Theresa May said, well, enough is enough. Well, what does that mean? Nothing that any of the politicians have said from either side have filled me with confidence, have filled me with a sense of security, have filled me with anything. You know, the people are making a story out of Donald Trump being an idiot. Well, we know he's an idiot. How do we stop this? Because I will be honest, right? I'm saddened by the death. I'm saddened by the deaths. I'm saddened by the horrific stories. I'm a bit scared. I'm a bit scared, genuinely. I'm a bit scared for me, but I'm more scared for my boys and for Kath's little girls and for your kids. I'm scared for them because they are pure and they are innocent and, you know, they're as much at risk as anybody. So question one is, how are you doing? Question two is, what can be done? It's a genuine question. And I've listened to talk radio, not by that, I wasn't listening to that soulless idiot who was slagging coppers off for dancing with children. Dear God, woman, get a grip. Slagging off people who were buoyed by a copper dancing with children. Get a grip, woman. I'm glad. Someone said, have you seen what she said? She said, I said, no, she blocked me ages ago. Thank Christ. I don't want that bile in my timeline. Disgusting. How dare you? So I've listened to various shows on here and on other stations, and it's like, well, we need to curb immigration. We need to clamp down on Wahhabism. We need to get in there when they're young. And I don't know what any of that means. I'm not hearing anything that is an actual solution. So question one, and you might not want to go down this route because no one's phoning in, and that's absolutely fine. This is the show that I was asked to do, and I'm happy to do this kind of show for a bit. And then after 11, we'll lighten the mood a little bit and we'll start messing around and having a laugh if you feel up to it. So question one, how are you feeling? 03444991000. Question two is, what can be done? And I'm aware that turns us possibly into the kind of radio phoning show that I hate. But it's a genuine question. What can be done? Question three. What can I do to help you? When I lost my job at the BBC, it was horrible. It was horrific. Nothing like, you know, what's been going on. But it was a real sense of betrayal and confusion. Really confused about what happened. And some people reached out to me, and I can't remember now the gentleman. That's it, Paddy O'Connell. Paddy O'Connell, who is a broadcaster, who I don't know if I'd met, but we'd crossed paths very briefly. And he's a broadcaster on Radio 4. And he sent me a private message on Twitter saying, this is my phone number, give me a call. And I phoned him up, and I didn't know the bloke. I don't think I've ever spoken to him. And he said hello, and I said, hello, Paddy, this is Ian Lee. You asked me to call. You know what the next thing he said was? The very next thing he said. What can I do to help you? Wow. This is after I'd been felt betrayed and abused and lied to. And a stranger, the second sentence he utters to me after the word hello is, what can I do to help you? And that has stayed with me ever since. And it's such a wonderful sentence. And I've learnt to say it. Quite often the answer is, well, nothing, but thanks. And saying it is quite often enough. But I'm saying it to you now because maybe there is something, right? What can I do to help you? I'll put it out there like that. We got some callers. We'll take a break. And we'll see where we go. 03444991000. Late Nights with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Uncut after hours conversation for the up all night generation. Late Nights Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
03444991000 is the telephone number. Good evening, Anthony.
Good evening, Ian. How are you?
Oh, I'm sad. I feel a bit scared, and I feel a bit worried about. I feel significantly worried about the future for my kids. And I know that sounds heavy and dramatic, and that will pass. But that's how I'm feeling today. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm feeling very down about it all. I've got three daughters, and even before the London Bridge episode, my daughters were asking me questions. I think the Manchester bombing got to me because I take the girls to the concert, exactly those type of concerts.
Yeah.
And I've got Robbie Williams booked in 2 weeks' time, and I'm carrying on as normal may be.
Mm.
But I think I've got the answer to the solution, having listened to politicians, having watched every news article.
Yes.
And I've actually said this to my girls, and it's a bit depressing, but I don't think there is an answer. I don't think there is a solution. I think that my oldest daughter said to me, but what about the IRA, Daddy? You know, because I was growing up in the late 70s and 80s, and I lived in London, and they killed innocent people, but there was negotiating to be done. And, you know, the thing with Palestine and Israel, there's lots of bombing that's done there. But there may be one day peace because there is negotiating.
Well, there's an end with, and I don't for one second buy into this. And I know you're not suggesting this, Anthony, but I do not buy into this thing that, well, the IRA, at least they were gentleman bombers. They gave warnings. No. They were cowardly scum that murdered kids, right? There's no two
correct
ways about it. They were murderers, and they were awful, and they were evil, and they killed children and women and innocent people, right? So I'm not buying any of that.
Agreed.
But the thing about that was there was an obvious cause that they were working towards. There was something that they wished to achieve that was potentially achievable and is potentially getting closer now. With Daesh and these idiots jumping around coked up in vans with machetes. Well, if I've got this right, and this is maybe just reactionary nonsense, they just want to kill everyone who's not a proper Muslim, don't they? Isn't it? Is that, that's what it is.
I don't even think there is a reasoning behind it. Everyone's looking for the reasons why.
Well, there has to be a reason. Now, hang on a minute. There has to be a reason why someone drives a van into people and then jumps out with a knife. There has to be. It can't just be. You can't just be because they feel like having a laugh. There's got to be a reason to it.
I think having a laugh is, why would they wear a fake bomb?
So they get shot. So they get killed. And he said murdered. So they get killed by the police. Because, if the police think it's a suicide vest, they'll kill them straight away. They'll shoot them in the head. If the police just think it's an idiot running around with a knife, they'll shoot them in the arm or the leg or the body to try and bring them down. Also, it, creates panic and it stops punters having a go. Trying to fight back. Yeah. Punters then start running in different directions.
Yeah. I was told to watch a Channel 4 programme called The Jihad. I don't know if you've seen it, Ian. The Jihad is Next Door.
I've heard it mentioned. I haven't seen it, no.
Yeah, I started to watch it tonight, and after about 18 minutes, 20 minutes, I turned it off. I found it too distressing because it just was, you know, Regent's Park. These guys, 10 guys, were walking around. And one of the guys, literally, is the guy that died, or one of the three terrorists. And you see him talking to the cameras, and it's just like, wow, you know. And you know, why didn't something, you know, why couldn't
but
something
then,
be done?
But then here's the thing. But then what? Because talking to a camera and saying I hate Kaffirs and I hate infidel, whatever it was he was saying, that's not illegal.
No.
And I don't buy this. Loads of people say, well, internment. Now, for those who don't know, internment is when you put someone in prison, even though they haven't done anything, but it's because of what they're thinking or what they might do. But that doesn't work. We did that with the IRA, and it didn't work.
And, yeah, absolutely correct. And I've just said, whilst I've been on the phone to you, it's flashed up on my phone, that the 12 people that they arrested in connection have all been released without charge.
Right.
Now,
well, maybe they're innocent.
Well, they would be innocent of not killing someone.
But we don't know. But here's the thing. Now, this is the dangerous road that we're going down. Mm-hmm. We don't know who they are. They might be flatmates. They might be people who live in the same building. It could be a brother or a sister, but they might, I don't know what my sister's up to. You know, they could be. The fact that they've been released doesn't necessarily mean that they're members of Daesh, but they haven't done anything. They might have literally nothing to do with it.
The other 10, so there was 10 people in Regent's Park on this program that Jihad is Next Door. One of them we know has done this atrocity.
Right.
Now, the other 9, if they're arrested tomorrow because they've got links, they will also be released. Because what will they be charged with?
Well, maybe they haven't done anything. You know,
well, that's why it can't be stopped, Ian. Sorry to be depressing. That's why it can't be nipped in the bud or Theresa May's enough is enough. Nick Ferrari this morning on his show kept asking, what does she mean? What does enough is enough?
It was like, well, listen, after Manchester, I was going to give them one more chance, and those ISIS guys have really let themselves down. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just really nonsense, isn't it? Anthony, listen, thank you for calling. It might be depressing tonight, guys. It might be. That's kind of where we'll lighten things up a bit. I promise. This isn't going to be all this. It's just the boss said this is the kind of show he wanted, and I agree with him. I actually agree with him because I need to brain dump. I'm completely discombobulated by this whole thing. Jack, Craig, stay there. I'll come to you in a bit. 0344 499 1000. Talk Radio.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
0344 499 1000. Let's go to Jack. Hey, Jack.
Hey.
Hello. We'll go back to Jack in a minute. Let's go to Adam.
Hi, Ian. How you doing?
I'm all right, Adam. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm also, this is my first time actually ringing up. And your sort of question, what you've put across, is very, very interesting. It, for me personally, obviously, I'm a Muslim, first of all.
Right.
And one thing, my father and parents, my mum and dad, both brought me up when I was born in this country. They said to me, look, you've come to England, you've been given this opportunity, both of you come here. And what the opportunity you've been given, you probably won't get anywhere else in the world. It's going to provide a house, education, everything it's going to provide for you. So you can never disrespect this country. These are the values my parents instilled into me from the day, you know, from a young age. And when I was growing up and learning Islam, one thing I found was it comes down to the teachings of where it's practiced. So the question that you're saying, how can this be changed? It's got to come down to the foundations, how we're taught, how they're taught in mosques, how Islam is portrayed.
But so the thing I don't get, right, and I'm not a fan of religion. You know, I'm not really a massive fan of religion, really. But if people want to do it, and that's fine, that's groovy. But You can phone up now and you'll say, well, okay, like, according, you know, the Quran says this and the Quran says that, and we're supposed to be nice to people and we're not supposed to, you know, kill anybody. But then someone else could phone up and say, well, no, I'm afraid, Adam, you've got it wrong. What it actually says is this. And then a third person phones up and says, no, you've both got it wrong. It says, it's all open to interpretation.
Absolutely.
And you think that yours is right. Absolutely. Those idiots that were driving, you know, the truck on Saturday think that theirs is right. Somebody else will think that their version of it is right.
Well, what we try to do is, this is why, again, you try to sort of look at different perceptions and say to people, let's look at the foundations of it. What happens is people take culture and other views from there and make it their own. So people are taught in different ways. So that's, again, there is different interpretations. People do obviously act upon different things. Now, going back to the question you're saying, it has to come down to teaching and explaining things and saying, well, okay, we're in England, we live here. If, for example, what's happened on Saturday, what happened last Monday, these individuals are born in this country. So my first question would be to them is, if you've had the education, you've had everything given to you, how can you treat the country that's provided for you to treat it in the way that it's been treated, to treat innocent people like that?
We're not going to get an answer just by sitting there chatting, are we? But I don't understand why. I don't understand why. And you know, they do say they're doing, you know, the guys that were running around apparently were shouting, we're doing this for Allah. So, you know, there is, we have to say it's an Islamic form of terrorism because that's what they're saying it's for. But I don't understand what religion tells people to kill my kids. What religion tells people to...
There is no religion.
But to them it does. But to them it does. To them, their religion is saying to kill my kids and to kill, you know, to stab Australian girls working in bars in the neck. That's what it's saying to them. And I just don't understand how anybody can be so messed up that they just want to kill kids.
But you just hit the nail on the head, so messed up.
Yeah.
What they're trying to do is, because they don't like what other people have sometimes, So it's like anything. It's like if you see someone with a nice car, you see someone with nice things, you get a bit jealous. And I think sometimes people are using things because they don't like the way people are doing certain things. And I think that's what it comes down to. They're following a different path.
But you're saying we stop it with education. And I don't know if that's enough.
No, what I mean education,
go
what I mean is like I said, the foundations of where, the, for example, the Quran is taught in schools, in mosques, by teachers or mosques. This is where it's going to come down to. The root's going to come to how it's portrayed, how it's taught to children, how it's taught to people. And yes, you're saying that there's different versions of it. However, community need to get together now, especially now, to make sure this is eradicated out. And if there is any signs that anyone is even remotely, you know, acted upon it, there needs to be reported, action needs to be taken.
These people were reported. At least two of the blokes from the weekend and the idiot with the bomb, they were reported. Yeah. And I just don't know. Adam, listen, I appreciate you calling in. I'm aware to my, you know, my fans. This is becoming a bit of a traditional kind of phone-in radio show that I've always said I wouldn't do. But, and we're lighting the mood after 11. I promise. But I'm scared. As a dad, I'm scared. I'm worried. How are you doing? How do we stop it? And what can I do to help you? That's all I got tonight. 0344-499-1000. Jack.
Hi there, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks, man. What you got?
So I've been listening to the various calls, and in fact, I've been listening to radio stations left, right, and centre, and everybody seems to be asking the same question. So how can we stop this? How can we stop this? And everyone's coming up with the vast majority of politicians and the vast majority of news articles are all saying the same thing. They're coming up with ideas, well, let's put more guns on the street, let's increase...
Okay.
What
do you think, Jack?
Well, we're not really discussing what the fundamental problem is.
I think we are.
And the fundamental problem goes back decades. And it goes back to the UK and its close ally, the United States.
Right. Well, how do we, Jack, I don't want a history lesson, man. How do we stop it?
Well, I actually agree with your caller earlier. We can't. There is actually, unless we make a drastic shift and become a country like Switzerland, that we remain completely neutral and we don't get heavily involved with
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe we can't stop it, because I have to believe that we can stop it, because I've got kids. I've got two little boys who are 7 and 5. So I have to believe, as a parent who is terrified for his kids, Jack, I have to believe that we can stop it.
But if we face the reality...
If we face your reality.
True, absolutely, yep. Absolutely. And it is my reality.
Yep.
However, if we face the reality, so for your example, reality. if someone's attacking me, and I know that I can't stop them, then what that does is that opens dialogue as to, okay, well, what else can we do? As opposed to sitting there thinking, okay, because the reality is, we put more officers on the street. Absolutely, it's good, and it will reduce it somewhat. But it won't get rid of it. Absolutely not.
Well, how do you live with such a bleak mindset that this is it now? This is where we are and this is where it's going to be?
Well, if...
How do you get out of bed every day? How do you get out of bed every day believing what you believe?
Because I'm a realist.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, it means that I understand reality.
Well, no, you understand your reality. So this is where we are, and it's just going to get worse. How do you get out of bed every day?
Well, if I can just hone in on what you said there.
If you can answer that question, how do you get out of bed every day, knowing that this is it from now on in your reality, that this is going to carry on and probably get worse? How do you find the strength to get out of bed?
Because I'm human.
No, you're not answering the question. That doesn't mean anything. Give me an answer that means something.
How do I get up in the morning? Well, I get up because I've got strength of character and strength of mind to carry on.
That's not good enough. It's not a good enough answer. So you think this is it? When we're just going to have to deal with this now, unless we become Switzerland and pull out of interfering with all around the world, this is it.
It would definitely help because it would stop giving them propaganda.
Do you really think if we did that right, it would stop everything?
Well, if I answer your question with a question, are they bombing Switzerland?
No. Answer it with an answer.
Answer it with an answer. Well, the answer is yes, because we look at countries like Croatia, we look at countries like Italy, we look at countries such as Switzerland, we look at countries like Finland, like Iceland, and they don't have the problems that we have. But then again, they're not meddling so much in these foreign affairs as we are.
Well, I agree that we meddle, and you know that there have certainly been a lot of incidents, you know, in the last 10 years that we probably shouldn't have got involved in. But that doesn't justify what they're. I still don't understand why that would encourage three young men to drive over people and jump at them with machetes.
Well, let me put it this way.
No, don't, Jack, please don't. I'm being really patient with you, but you're the kind of caller that really winds me up. Don't put it anyway, just address the points that I'm making.
Well, there is no justification for it. There is absolutely no, I mean...
How do they justify it somehow? How do they justify it?
Because thousands and thousands and thousands of people are dying day in, day out in their countries.
Hang on. What are their countries?
Well, if you look at countries such as Syria, where people are dying left, right, and centre.
Okay. How many of the attackers this weekend were Syrian?
Absolutely not. But what happens is.
Right. Well, then you're saying it's in their country, but they're not Syrian. One of them was Moroccan, I think.
True. But
what have we done in Morocco?
No, but what we're talking about is we're talking about Muslims, and what happens is
no,
they.
What have we done? But they're not coming from Muslimistan. They're not coming from a Muslim. What is a Moroccan lad? Well, one of them was Moroccan. What have we done to Morocco?
Nothing. But what we have done is we've meddled with the people that are feeding these guys propaganda that they're listening to, believing, and that's caused them to attack.
But then we got Muslims killing Muslims.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Right, so how is that? How does that? I'm just trying to get my head around it. How does that make sense?
I'm not saying necessarily that it. I mean, it depends what you mean by making sense.
Yeah,
there's no justification, and I mean, you can't really make sense of this. But what I'm saying is that if we look at the root of why it is happening, or at least the reasons that they use to justify what they're doing, that's a starting point for us. You know, but yep. if we just dismiss it, I agree.
I do think that I almost went on the anti-war march when it was Iraq, but I was doing a breakfast show and I was too tired. But which is terrible, isn't it? I know. But I agree. I think that someone will misinterpret this as a justification, but there is cause and effect, and you cause damage in one place, then there is a chance that there will be some form of retaliation. But it's just bleak, man, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's horrendous. There is no getting away from it. That is absolutely horrendous. But the thing is when we have these difficult, because it's not an easy conversation.
No.
Difficult conversation.
Yep. No, I agree, and you know, and I'm not skirting around the Muslim issue. I don't normally, you know, we don't normally you talk about Muslims on this show because every other show does it, and it's a bit tiresome. But there is, I'm not skirting around the fact that this is connected somehow with Islam and somehow with Muslims, and you know, and it's all of that. Jack, I appreciate you calling in, and I appreciate you letting me pick your brains.
No worries.
Thanks, man.
No
bye worries. Bye. Let's go to Simon. Craig, we'll come to you after the news. Evening, Simon.
Yeah, good evening. First time caller, so a little bit nervous.
Aren't we all? What have you got for us, Simon?
Well, it was your story at the start, prior to the phone-in, that I really wanted to respond to. I don't think you was unique in your sort of scenario, if you like. My wife and my eldest daughter had tickets for Robbie Williams on Friday evening in Manchester.
Oh yeah.
We got a sister-in-law who had take that tickets earlier in the week,
oh,
and had decided not to go because of events, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
But we went up there on Friday. We always had it in our minds that we would go to the memorial place where the flowers was laid.
Yeah.
Which obviously after. I will say about the show, it was all relaxed. Everybody it was quite uplifting that the fact that people were, it was almost like people were saying, you know, nothing's going to be us. We're going to, we're defiant. We're, it's not going to stop the way our way of life. We're strong. And I know it was a big call out to Manchester, but there was people out of that 70,000 people from all over the country. Mm-hmm. Myself from Lincolnshire and all sorts of places. So it was like a mass of people going into one place and saying, you know, this is not going to stop us, living our life. Then, like I say, the next day, go into the memorial area. I was in London during the 7/7 bombings, but I've never felt anything like it. It was, you was going from the hustle and bustle of, middle Manchester on a Saturday morning to an environment where you could only hear the birds sing. It was absolutely amazing and touching. Mm. And I'm one of these big blokes, nothing affects me, but I'm telling you, you know, that did. It had a massive effect on me. And, like, now, where it runs parallel with your story a little bit is that we got home late Saturday evening. I'm sort of thinking, yes, we're defiant, we're, you know, we're not going to have any of this. And then, obviously, the pictures from London are then put through the news. And it's, like I say, it was your response, what you was talking about, sitting in the car. I was obviously not in the car, but in the living room, and it's very, very difficult to make any sense of what's happening.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It's surreal, because you can't pin any... There's no sense to be made out of it. It's senseless.
I work for the emergency services, and I have done for the last 20 years, obviously always been very, very aware of things. I get told by my wife that I scan people when I go to Asda or wherever.
And so good for you.
You know, it's a natural...
Yeah, of course it is.
You know, it's quite a natural thing for me to be quite aware and be aware of what's around me.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be talking politically to you, because I've got no answers. Possibly academically, I may not be bright enough to give you any answers, but something needs to be done. But like I said, I've not got the answer.
Simon, I've got to go, because I've got to go to the news. I really appreciate you. Was Robbie Williams any good?
It was absolutely brilliant.
Did he do that annoying thing where he can't be bothered to sing and he goes, "Your turn," and points the mic out to the audience?
Well, very quickly, he did it on Angels, and the reason why he did it was because he was emotionally affected by the response of everybody and what had happened in Manchester. Okay. So I'm not going to put it down to the showmanship. I'm going to put it down to the fact that it was he was affected by
Simon,
it.
Simon, I'm glad you went to the concert. I've got to move. I'm glad you called and shared that. Thank you very much indeed. We're a bit late for the ads.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Take a far-out trip into the twilight zone of late-night radio with Ian
Unmissable Late Night Radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I'm not on Thursday because it's the election. They want a soulless bloodsucker to host the show that night, who probably will be burning babies' books. I don't know, and I don't know what will be going on that night, but I certainly won't be listening. Anyway, this evening, 0344, you should block me ages ago, 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Craig!
Ian, Ian.
Hey, man!
Phoned up to tell you how I'm feeling.
Yes.
Well, the pills that I'm on keep me sort of level. I don't really have highs and I don't have lows, but it was a bit. But, you know, things like that Manchester concert, watching that, it changed, you know, that was like a positive thing, and that's what I think. When you went and saw that artist and the stuff you say sounds amazing about it.
Yeah,
that's all we can do. We're just people. We're not governments.
This is why I don't get people, you know, and there are others, but there's a colleague here who go in,
Well, what's the point? So it's virtue signalling. Who cares if there's a copper dancing with some kiddies? You know, who cares? It was awful, them all singing that song. Well, I don't understand how... Ariana Grande singing with Justin Bieber isn't going to bring an end to Daesh. We know that. We know that. But that wasn't what that concert was about. It wasn't a let's end international Islamic terrorism concert. It was a let's raise some money for the people that were killed and the people that are injured. And let's show that we're not scared. And let's put a smile on the face of some kids. How could you have a problem with that?
Yeah, I mean, I really cry, but that little girl doing her stuff, 21 years old.
Ariana Grande?
Yeah.
She needs to she needs to become the queen of the world, doesn't she?
It's funny, right? Because my daughter's 16 now, so I've grown up watching Nicola, watch with her as she grew up watching this Ariana Grande, and it was quite a positive.
She was like a Hannah Montana type thing, was she?
Yeah, there was like a group of them. She wasn't like the main star of the show, but she shone out there, and it came across as, you know, you can't tell how they acted and all that, but she came across as a lovely little girl in that show.
Yeah.
And to see her, you know, pure emotion.
Yeah.
And to front all that, that three-hour thing, that's what I'm saying. We wouldn't do the terrorist attack side of things. We can't solve their issues, but we can look for good in people. I mean, I was too shy to say to Kath, but on the night she texted again, tweeted, look for the helpers, like what her relative said to her before.
Yep.
And that helped on the night whilst I was watching the news.
Yeah.
I couldn't say it to her on the phone when I rang in.
You know,
you've just got to look for the good in people.
All right, and here's a question. What can I do to help, right? And again, I'm not going to solve ISIS. I'm not going to stop. You know, both attacks, less than a mile that way, less than a mile that way from this building, you know. I'll be honest, Craig, I'm scared, right? I'm actually scared to the point where I'm not going to bring my kids into London for a while. And when I drive in, I'm looking everywhere, and I'm driving in, I'm looking.
But that's natural. That's you're not going to put yourself in danger. No one would put their children in danger. So being scared is a positive.
But then what does that mean? I live in Windsor, right? Very rarely, I say rarely. I live in Windsor. Now, Windsor's a target. We've got an army base.
Yeah.
And we've got the Queen. The Queen, for those who don't know, guys, the Queen is in Windsor way more than she is in Buckingham Palace. She lives in Windsor, right? And it's a huge tourist attraction. And we've got Legoland and all of this stuff. So I take the kids out to Smith's to buy comics, and I'm looking around thinking, well, should I be bringing the kids into Windsor? You know, listen, we all react to this thing our own way, and there is no right or there is no wrong way to react to it. If you want to react by being angry on Twitter and slagging off a concert, actually, that's legitimate because that is how you want to react to it, and that's kind of fine. And I was a little bit harsh about Julie. She's doing the show on Thursday, and I'm sure it'll be an excellent, excellent show, and I'm sure she'll be doing a superb election coverage. I get to night off. Thank you very much indeed. I don't know.
The thing is, right, when, like last week you said about the zip line, and when your kids were getting not fairly treated, you stepped in.
Yes.
You dealt with, it's a silly example, but you dealt with that woman that wasn't doing it right.
Yes, I did.
So if something happened, you'd be there for your kids.
Yep.
But you're not going to shove your kids into something that could happen. You'll fix it when it happens, but it's stupid to force yourself to do something.
It is. And I'm just, I don't know. With everything that's going on in this country, and, you know, everything that's going on with me personally in terms of, you know, just trying to keep my head above the water in terms of all this depression and all this stuff that I don't really talk about on the radio anymore because it was causing people to turn off and all of that stuff. It's hard
didn't
work.
Cause me to turn off.
Well, I know, but people didn't like it, you know. But here's a surprise. We do a phone-in where we mention the Muslim word, and we get more phone calls, new phone calls than we've had in ages. So maybe is what people want. I don't know.
The lowest common denominator is that, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone's got an opinion if you force them, you know, on how to cure this and that.
Yeah.
But talking about your feelings.
What can what can I do? What can I do to help? Is it? I just come in and I do a hey guy. Is it that we come in and hang on a second. So imagine this is the start of the show, right? And so we come in and we go. Good evening, dear listener. This is Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio. Tonight we are asking the three vital questions. Have you ever had a fight with an animal? Number one. There's number one. When did you crash Dad's car? That's question number two. And things I stole as a teenager. 03444991000. Fighting with animals, crashing Dad's car, and stealing things as a teenager. Is that what I need to do?
Well, sadly, we've got the example after the Manchester one. It took a few shows to get back. You just gradually feel it back.
Well, you know, listen. The boss is the boss, right? And I'm fully aware, and I like my boss a lot. And I was kind of going off on Twitter today about the lack of advertising. And I did a show in Birmingham last night, and 70% of the audience didn't know that I was here and was doing this show. And I thought that was really weird. So I was going off on that. But I cannot stress enough. I've got three bosses: Liam, Denny, and Scott. And I think they're fab, and they let me get away with absolute. They let me get away with murder. In fact, that's what we're doing next week. Live on... No, I'm joking. But they let me get away with anything, right? And I love it. I just wish that there was more kind of advertising and push behind the station and behind this show. But they let me get away with stuff. I got a text from my boss today saying, Ian, can we kind of have the same sort of vibe that you had after the Manchester bombing? I said, yeah, absolutely no problem. Thank you for the heads up. And it's right. It's the right call. And I kind of agree with him because I had all this stuff in my head that was bubbling around that I hadn't really had time to talk to anyone about. My wife is a reporter, right? And she had to go and do some reporting the next day from London Bridge. This is where my head is at, right? And I don't say this as a joke, and I don't say this lightly, and I feel horrible for even saying this. My head is extrapolating to the point where I'm wondering, I'm remembering Jill Dando. You get the reference, yeah?
Yeah.
And I'm worrying that if my wife is seen on television doing reports about this, is someone going to follow her home? This is how crazy my thinking has got, Craig.
It's not crazy because it happened to Jill Dando.
Yeah, well, when we still don't know what's going on there, but this is where my head is at the moment. I don't want my head to be there.
Yeah, but it's going to be there for a few days because it's a shock again.
Yeah, isn't it? But I'm also I'm kind of waiting for someone on Twitter to go, uh-oh, Ian, have you seen what's happened in Birmingham? I'm waiting for that. Because it's going to happen again.
Unfortunately, it is going to happen somewhere, in France, here, anywhere. And it's never going to be right. It's never going to feel right. It'd be stupid if it felt right. There'd be something wrong with you. Or me. If you thought, oh, that's another one, never mind.
Absolute arseholes, aren't they? I mean, really. Yeah. Absolute scumbags. I've heard some really good stories. There was a guy on the news tonight. I think he was Polish, I'm not sure. And we want to send them all back. He had an accent. And he was a baker. And someone ran into his bakery and said, there's a guy out there stabbing people. And he got two long, like, sort of bread containers or something. And he went out. And there's these people. And he said, which way did he go? And they went, is that Romanian, was it? Which way did he go? Went that way. So he chased after them and was smacking one of them around the head with these crates. Brilliant. There was the story about when in one of the restaurants, and I've only heard a bit of it, in one of the restaurants or a bar, and a girl ran in, and she said, there's a bloke out there stabbing people. And he tried to get into the bar. And all these lads were picking up chairs and whacking him with chairs and smacking him. I want to hear more of that. I want to hear that, because that, to me, is brilliant. There's a brilliant picture, and it was a tweet, and it was going round, and it was wonderful, right? It's all these people running away from what's going on. You see it?
Yeah.
And it's a fella doing that thing where he's got his hands over the top of his pint so he doesn't spill it. And the tweet was, this is Britain. This guy is running away from a terrorist and he's not spilling a drop. And you could see, we've all done it, that thing where you've got to run or walk quickly with a drink. And I laughed. I laughed at that. And that is what, that is Britain. That is human. That is humanity. That is a drunk bloke who's running, doesn't want to get killed. But also, almost as importantly to him, he doesn't want to spill his pint of lager.
Well, on the night, there was three bad guys and many heroes. Many, much more heroes.
Many. There we go, Craig. That's going to be the... thank you for that, mate. Many, much more heroes. That's what we got there. As Habiba, stay there. 0344 499 1000. Late Nights with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Right. Let's go to Az. Good evening, Az.
Hey, good evening, Ian. How's it going?
You know, man. You know. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. Yeah, I think the thing that really hit me was the story of the woman who came over to be with her fiancé who died. That was the one that affected me the most because my fiancé's over here now. I'm still with the girl I called up about last year, the one from Ecuador who hated cats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course.
She's over here now, and we're engaged. And I'm just thinking if that happens.
Mate, it ain't never going to work between you two. She hates cats.
Do you know what? 3 months after she arrived, my cat died. Wasn't old or anything.
Oh, I don't. Did you get an autopsy done?
No, we didn't. My dad buried it. I'm upset because I suspected foul play. But,
yeah, I don't want to cast aspersions. I'm not going to accuse your fiance of murdering your cat. But I think we all know what we're thinking here, Az.
Well, exactly. But yeah, in terms of dealing with these situations that keep happening around the world, I don't think there is a quick fix, but I also don't think that it's completely hopeless, because I think we really need to look at the kind of the roots of the problem. And by that, I don't just mean the political situations and this kind of thing. I think those are just symptoms. All this, like, Western interference in the Middle East and Saudi Arabia and blah, blah, blah. They're all symptoms of these kind of the bad side of humanity, like greed and hatred and ego and these kind of things. Yeah. And it's a question of like, you know, you get people saying, oh, what do we do? We need to increase security. We need to do this. We need to do that. We need to fight fire with fire.
Well, what does that even, I don't know what that means, but, fight fire with fire.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I don't know if they've ever tried putting out a fire with more fire. I don't think it would work that well.
It doesn't. There's a lot of right-wing gobshites who say, I'm really swearing tonight. Sorry, it's because I'm emotional. I apologise. I'm going to stop from now. I apologise. Yeah, we've got to fight fire. Well, what does that mean? What, you go to a Muslim concert and blow up them there? What, you run over Muslim? What does that mean?
Exactly. It's ridiculous. It's a vicious cycle. Yeah. It's really a question of the only thing, I mean, if hatred and anger and stuff is the fire, then what constitutes water is going to be like love and understanding and everything. And that doesn't mean, oh, just let them off and turn the other cheek. It means try to understand the causes of these. Because I was discussing it on Facebook the other day, and they're all saying, oh, we should have this thing we should do and pull up the drawbridge and ban this and ban that. And I'm saying, I don't want a world for, you know, for eventually when I have kids and for your kids and everything. I don't want a world in which we're in a cage protecting ourselves from terrorists. I want a world in which no one feels the desire to terrorize people.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's where it is. I think it's a case of just promoting love and tolerance and stuff so much, like, but to the extreme level, not just with our family and friends, but even to our enemies. Not in the sense that, oh, come in my house, I forgive you for all that, but try and find the people who might turn into your enemies and sort of, you know, you've got these funny views and stuff. You know, I could just have a go at
you. You've got these funny views. Nasty, you think that everybody's an infidel and we need to kill them. That's quite a funny view.
The thing, I think, because for those people, it's too late. We need to get to the people before that and teach them those things and show them. Like when you said, when that person called you up and said, what can I do to help?
Mm.
If you had been in, I don't know, an even more dire situation than you were in, and you'd let it dwell and there was no one to help you or anything, then you might have just let it dwell and become nasty and turn into something vile. But if someone had got to you beforehand and said, look, what can I do to help you? Why do you feel angry? Why do you feel upset?
it's just a question of promoting this idea of tolerance and love to get to people before they turn into those monsters, I think.
How's things going with how is she finding it over here?
She's finding it colder and wetter than it is over there.
Yeah.
But, you know, now she's had a taste of cat blood. I think she's quite enjoying it.
As, I wish you the best of luck. Thank you, mate. Habiba. Habiba.
Oh, hello, Ian.
What are you doing? You're not on the lavvy, are you?
No, I was just putting the tumble dryer on.
Oh, you got a tumble dryer, have you?
Yeah.
They shrink my clothes. I refuse to use them. What?
I'm only doing it because it's nothing's drying in this horrible muggy weather.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. It is.
So I just want to take some of the moisture out.
Andy, can you call back? We can't get through to you. I'm being told. Here we go, Habiba. I don't think my washing machine is working properly. Right now, you'll know this. Washing machines, right?
Yeah.
Does hot water go into them, or do they heat the hot water?
They heat the hot water.
Hang on, what?
You have a cold water going in. And the washing machine heats the water.
Right. And then when the washing is finished, right, but you've not put it on spin dry or anything. Mm-hmm. So there's no spin dry. You've just done the washing, and then that's finished, right? And it's rinsed. Are the clothes cold or warm?
Well, it depends on what temperature you set them.
40.
Oh, they're not going to be that hot, are they?
But
they're going to be cold, I would say.
But well,
Ian, the way to fix this is in the middle of the cycle when it's washing and swishing about. Yeah. Put your hand on the glass, and then you'll feel the temperature.
Thank you, Habiba. A sensible. I don't need to do that because the seal on my door is broken, so I can just open it at any time. My washing machine is rogue, guys. Not like you guys, where you stood there. Wait, has it clicked? No. Is that? No.
Mine's got a little alarm on it. Mine,
because it's broken. I can open it any time I want, even when it's going round. It's brilliant.
Ian, please buy your wife a new one.
But. You sexist.
Oh, God, that was sexist, wasn't it?
You sexist thing, you. Buy my wife a new washing machine. How dare you? I know how to use the washing machine. Secondly, no, I will not buy her a new washing machine until that one actually refuses to go. And saying
Hold on, say if it starts flooding your kitchen
It does from time to time, yes.
Is it worth it?
Well, it's not, here's the thing, right? It does sometimes give me an F6 error.
Oh, Lord.
And I don't know what that is. And sometimes it kind of floods like once a month, but it still works most of the time.
Do you want us to crowdfund for you?
Right, let's have the Rocky Hall of Fame if you'd like to contribute to my washing machine. No, I'm all right.
Oh, right, well, you'd certainly find out who your friends are. When something like this happens and Facebook, and I've just stayed off of it, I think, for the last 6 months.
How do you say Facebook?
No, you know what?
I've just told someone to
have a look, and I knew it was going to be full of it, and it was, and I just come back off of it again. I'm just fed up. People calling us rats and cockroaches.
What, because you're Muslim?
Yeah.
But who's doing that on Facebook?
Oh, there's loads of it.
But not like your friends.
No, actually, two people. It's really surprising. You don't know who your friends are. Keep your friends close and your enemies even closer.
I don't really have many friends on Facebook, but occasionally I'll befriend people because it's kind of, because I want something from them. But yeah, when you start seeing, I've seen people posting racist stuff. If you disagree with this, then you are not British and all that kind of stuff. Attacking.
And all Muslims agree with the bombings and the killings. Excuse me, I don't. In fact, I was actually approached to do the funeral of that donkey from Westminster Bridge. And
Were you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was that? The police approached you or the family?
No. It was the mortuary technician at that hospital. Because I have quite a good relationship with most of the coroners and the hospitals.
And for those who don't know, you deal primarily with Muslim funerals?
Yep.
Not exclusively, but primarily?
Yeah. I mean, when I, yeah, it's a Muslim funeral service, but I'll help out friends. yeah, I was approached, and if I was any way, if I supported anything they did, I would have done it.
What, the Westminster Bridge bloke?
Yeah, I'm not interested. He doesn't represent any religion that I recognise on this planet.
Wow. Wow. Good for you.
And you know what? You were talking about interpretation, I think, with Adam.
Yeah.
You know what, Adam? You can do all the education you want. Yeah. At the end of the day, take away all the crap and just look at the 10 commandments that exist in the 3 monotheistic religions,
uh-oh,
Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Okay? And one of them is, thou shalt not kill. That's a simple... That's all you need to know.
Well...
Strip away all the other rubbish.
Yeah, but...
You are not allowed to kill.
Yeah, but... in all those religions, it's thou shalt not kill, except if, and there's exceptions to all of it, and it's all open to interpretation, Habiba. That's the thing, you know. That's the thing, and I want to believe that most religions are based on, you know, religions are based on love and looking after the bloke next to you, and because when you're
and doing
you're
the right thing,
yeah.
At the end of the day, if you believe in the God, then only God has the right to give life, and only God has the right to take life.
Well,
that's why there's a problem with religions and abortion.
Yeah.
Because that's the fundamental belief, that if you believe in a God, then you only believe that God has the right to take life and give life. And so therefore, based on that, I know, and most of the 2.whatever billion Muslims around the world know, not to go around killing people. If it was something in our scripture, why didn't pre-9/11, why weren't we going around just slaughtering people on the street? Why haven't I just slaughtered loads of people? I mean, I'd make loads of money out of it.
Well, I know. I know what you mean. And I mean, I've got idiots on Periscope, you know, saying similar things to the things that you said to you on Facebook, you know, and I'm kind of getting rid of them because I think we're a couple of steps above that discussion, you know. I think we're a couple of steps.
I hope so, and I hope places like YouTube take off these stupid videos. I know we can't police the dark web, which is where I believe a lot of this is happening.
No.
It's not happening in the mosques. People are going on about, oh, you get the sermons, this and that. Well, you know what? Well, the mosque that I work at, all the sermons are available online. So if you want to check anything out, go ahead. It's all there. It's also done by. It's also done in sign language by an English guy, and I'm sure if he heard anything suspect, he would have reported us by now. There's nothing going on in the mosque.
You're talking about Facebook. There's a really nice page, the Talk Radio listeners page, right, where it was run by a couple, Lee and Radamphy, I think, and a couple of others kind of run it, and it's a nice thing. And I pop in there from time to time, and there's a guy in there called Pete who's stirring. He keeps, for the last couple of weeks, he keeps posting, oh, Ian Lee's leaving, Ian Lee's going to be replaced by all this. And he got upset because I said, when I was on Virgin, I tweeted out, oh, I'm taking over Virgin Breakfast. Oh, he's just written on Facebook, oh, that's not funny. Edith Bowman's got a family and you're going to upset her. I said, oh, mate, grow up. Go on. He's replied, oh, well, good luck to you and your 7 listeners. And do you know what I've replied? And it's childish, right? It's childish, but it made me laugh. And that's important. I went, F off. Just typed it, the full word. F off. It's childish, it's stupid, but it's made me feel a whole lot better.
I'm just staying off social media.
Oh, it's the worst, isn't it? It really is the
it
worst.
It's disgusting. I think it's the worst invention.
Always nice to talk to you, my dear. Take care.
Thank you, my darling. Take care.
Ta-ta, bye-bye. 0344-499-1000. Late Nights with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Late Nights, Ian Lee. On air and off the loop. On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
03-444-991000. Andy, we can't get through to you for some reason. Give us a call again, and I don't know what's going on with you, Andy, for goodness sakes. Can I just say, on a completely different tangent, Phil and Paul, I'll come to you in a bit. We watched the beginning of Big Brother tonight. Flipping it, the state of that lot. I mean, first of all, right, I love Ryland. I've worked with Ryland. I think he's a legend. He's one of the nicest blokes you could ever meet. What's has he been taking hormones?
He was talking like this. Hi, it's Ryland here. And
I mean, does he smoke? He did smoke, I think. Yeah.
Hi, it's Ryland here. And welcome to Big Brother. And
his voice had dropped about 6 octaves. And God, blimey, number of side boobs and camel toes I saw. Flipping heck. How can you wear trousers so tight that they show the insides of your genitals? How can you
and walk. Walking. Incredible. And what an absolute bunch of... I mean, I know it's meant to... I do like Big Brother, even though I haven't worked with them for 2 or 3 years. I do like Big Brother, but what an absolute bunch of cretins. Oh, I think I can tell you this now, because I've got the money in the bank. You know, I went... Philippa, I'll come to you in a minute, I promise. I went to... I had to have some rabies jabs. I had rabies and all the heps... And the tetanus and maybe something else. I can tell you why now. I was the, I was a standby contestant for Bear Grylls Celebrity Island. And, I was yay close to, flying off to Panama, having a 3-day, survival course with Bear Grylls and then getting dumped on an island with, with Mark Watson and, some people from TOWIE, I don't know. So I was there if someone pulled out, but no one pulled out. So I got paid handsomely and I got bought a waterproof hat. So all in all, fun times. Phil, good evening, Phil.
Hello, mate. Great show. I've been listening to you for a couple of weeks now. It's quite good.
No, the quite good is, I think, is an overstatement, but thank you. How did you find it, Phil? Because what I'm realising is talk radio is kind of...
I listen to Talk Sport a lot.
Oh, you listen to Talk Sport?
Yeah, and I just flicked through and I found you.
Oh, nice one. Well, I'm glad you found us. Spread the word, won't you, Phil? What have you got for us tonight?
Well, it's a bit of a yarn, really. About 5 years ago, I was on an industrial site... having an induction to go on this site.
Yeah.
And anyway, during the course of this induction, half an hour into it, 8:30 in the morning, there was this automatic firing. And everyone's ignoring it. So I stopped the guy that was doing the induction. I said, that sounds like an automatic rifle to me. So he said, no, it's someone drilling, I think. Anyway, went off again. I said, I'm sorry, there was no windows in this building we was in.
Yeah.
Anyway, I says to him, do you mind having a look outside? And I was shaking, because all I could hear was gunfire. Now, he looked outside, comes running back in. He says, quick, get out, get out. There's bodies on the floor, there's bodies on the floor. Well, my heart was in my mouth.
Yeah.
So we all run out, tried to get through this door. And then a guy just walked through and he went, it's all right, it's an exercise. And what it was...
Flipping heck, Phil!
Oh, I'll tell you what, it was terrifying. So I felt for them people the other night, because I'd been in a mock-up situation.
So
like
what was
that.
It? Was it like the army or something, or the police doing the training exercise?
The same police that you seen the other night.
Yeah.
But during the course of the day, the SAS flew in.
Oh, blimey.
Now they are the monsters of the bunch.
Yeah. Though.
Now, this exercise went on all day, you know, and he was on about heroes. Them guys are the heroes at the end of the day. They really are.
Dang a minute. So how close were you to this exercise?
12 feet.
And there was no warning. It's like if you're having a party, you'll go and knock on both sides and say, look, we're going to be a bit noisy tonight. You're welcome to pop in, but we'll make sure after midnight we keep... There was none of that. They just did it.
Well, I don't think I'll get into trouble for telling you this. It was on an oil refinery. And what it was, they'd only told the manager of the oil refinery what they was going to do. They didn't. I know. It was absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, I was going to say, you must have been thinking, this is it, this is game over.
Well, the guy that was giving the induction, when he come back in, I give him a round. And I said, I can't believe that you didn't know that was going to happen. And he couldn't stop shaking for the next hour.
Man alive.
So we came out at 10 o'clock. Went for a smoke up the way, and you could look through the fence and you could see, I mean, some had tabards on. Say there was 20, you know, amongst the refinery, and another 20, you know, controlling the situation.
Yeah,
with
these
blank rounds, but it was as real as it gets.
Oh,
and then,
mate.
Then this chopper flew in, this army chopper, and these, like, SAS guerrillas got off. You've never seen that so frightening in your life. And they took over from the police. So this is what these jihadis have got coming from.
The police have done a lot of bad things, right, in the past. And I'm thinking of Hillsborough, and I'm thinking so many different things. But you cannot knock their response
and their reaction. 8 minutes. Eight minutes it took.
Amazing, wasn't it?
From the beginning to the end. And I think that is incredible. And then there's people going, well, there was the first copper there didn't have a gun and he only had a truncheon and we should arm all the police and, well, all the police don't want to be armed. And then someone, I saw someone on Periscope going, well, if there had been a member of the public that had had a gun, then it would have ended quicker. No. Because if a member of the public had had a gun, then the three idiots that were doing it would have guns. And also, once the public start pulling guns out, it's mayhem. I think 8 minutes and boom, straight in there, and they saw what was going on, and they took him out. I just think that's incredible.
What if you was to allow, you know, like there was several pubs in the area. What if you was to allow the bouncers to have tasers?
Well, would you trust bouncers with tasers?
Well, I think that's the safest option that we've got coming to us.
And also, these idiots were wearing pretend suicide vests, weren't they? Now, as far as I'm aware, suicide vests work by if you let go of a button, it blows up. It's not, you haven't got to press a button, you've got to let go of a button. So if you taser someone, they let go of the button, and then, you know, I don't know, Phil. Whatever we come up with, like some idiot on the radio today was saying, well, let's station five soldiers on every bridge. Well, there are about 35 bridges in London, so then they won't do it in London. They won't do it on a bridge. They'll do it on Oxford Street.
Yeah,
they'll go to Oxford Street or Regent Street. Okay, well, then we'll put the whatever we think of, they will fight. If it's as simple as driving a van and carrying a knife, I don't see how we stop it, Phil.
Well, what I seen during the course of that day,
yeah,
they're all dead men. Whatever they do,
yeah,
they're dead men.
That's given. Just put your faith in the services, is it?
Sorry?
That's put your faith in the services that would respond, has it?
I was still shaking a week later, mate.
Brilliant. But not brilliant that you were shaking, but brilliant. Phil, I really appreciate you sharing that with us, mate. Thank you very much.
Okay, no worries. Have a good night. Bye.
Cheers, bye-bye. I wonder where he was going with that story. I'm thinking 5 years ago. I don't remember a mass shooting. It was a training exercise on an oil refinery. Paul, good evening, Paul.
Hi, Ian.
Hey, Paul. How
are you, mate?
I'm all right, mate. What you got for us?
Well, I work on the door myself, you know, I'm a bouncer.
Yeah.
And I quite like that idea of bouncers giving tasers.
No, we can't give bouncers tasers, for goodness sakes.
We get a lot of respect off the public, then.
Well, I the number of times I've been intimidated by a bouncer, it's twice. I've only ever been out to a place like that, bouncers, twice. But still.
Scary bouncers.
Do you remember there was, was it after the Oscars or the Grammys last year or 2 years ago? And Paul McCartney went to, like, Jay-Z's after Grammy party or something. And the bouncer said, no, sorry, mate, you can't come in. And he's going, and he did do that. Do you know who I am? He said, I haven't got a clue, mate. And Paul, to his credit, walked away saying, guys, we've got to write another hit. So imagine tasering Paul McCartney. I don't know where that's come from. No, don't imagine that, please, for a second.
Paul McCartney's ancient now. He's about, he's 76, something like that.
He's, I think he's 74 or something. I like McCartney. I do like McCartney. I think his last few albums have actually been pretty decent. I've got a lot of respect for McCartney. Oh, you're disagreeing, Paul.
I find his music a bit bland since he left, what was the band after the Beatles?
Wings.
Some of the Wings stuff was good.
Honestly, but, his last couple of albums.
I love you.
I like that one, man.
It is likable, but it is a bit bland.
It's a nursery rhyme, but I like Silly Loves. I like that. I like, No More Lonely Nights, Never Be Another. That's a good song.
But these guys peaked in the 20s, didn't they? They peaked when they were kids, you know.
But I still think he has moments of brilliance. Not that Silly Covers album he did recently, but the last couple of albums, he's had, you know, half of it was a bit rubbish, but he still had a couple of good songs on there.
What I was going to talk about, you know, have you ever been in a crowd which is really exuberant and joyful?
Yes.
And, like, it's someone scored a goal, they're jumping up in the air and they're celebrating.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing experience because there's a kinetic energy in it. And it, like, just takes over a whole space.
Yeah.
I walked out this morning,
And all these people were, like, really exuberant. They were throwing their hands in the air, and they were tight five, and had big smiles on their faces. And I sit there, what's going on? Because I never listened to the radio or to the TV, nothing before 12 o'clock. That's a rule in my life.
Where does that rule come from? I like it.
Because morning's a special time of meditation and contemplation, you know. I love it. I like gentleness of a morning.
I wish I could adhere to that.
But anyway, so the next door neighbor said, haven't you heard? I said, what's going on? He said, they attacked the Twin Towers in America.
Oh.
I said, well, why are people celebrating? Well, to be honest, most of them were Arabs and black.
Come on, Paul. You're telling me that there were people out celebrating in Liverpool. I don't believe you.
You're not giving me any respect by saying that.
No, because you've not earned.
Speaking the honest
you've
truth
not earned
God.
My respect.
You know I'm a Christian. I don't lie, mate.
Well, no,
I
that do doesn't. Not those lie two. You. Those two do not.
And you should not accuse me of lies. There's no reason.
You've not got. You've not got the manners of a Christian because you'd let me speak. Being a Christian.
That's nasty to call me a liar. It is.
I haven't called you a liar.
You said it didn't happen. You're lying, you said.
I didn't say you're lying. No, I said I said I don't believe you.
Well, it's just roundabout ways.
No, it's not. I'm very precise in what I say, Paul, and you're not displaying the traits of a Christian. You're being very passive aggressive and being very rude and not letting me make my point.
All I want to do is relay an experience I went through.
No, you hate Muslims. You hate Muslims.
I don't hate anyone.
No, you do. No, Paul, you do, because I've heard you're poison.
No, Paul.
Look, you're off, mate. You're off for a second. You can come back, right? You can come back. When I realised it was you, and I like you, and we have really good calls, and I enjoyed that chat about Paul McCartney, and I've noticed you've not called for a while, and I think it's because we had a bit of a falling out before about Christianity and whatever, and that's fine, that's your choice, but when we're not talking about religion, I enjoy your calls, and I enjoy your getting a little glimpses at your mindset. That thing about not reading papers before you midday is I find fascinating. And I'd like to explore it more. But two things, right? First of all, I don't believe that happened. I just don't believe it. And we can't hear you at the moment, so, you know, just keep quiet. And secondly, saying I don't lie, I'm a Christian. Well, those two things don't necessarily go hand in hand, I'm afraid, you know. So I don't buy that. If you're calling up just to slag off Muslims, honestly, man, I'm not interested in that. Phone LBC. I know you've got the number, and I'll bring you back on. I'll put you back through in a second, Paul. I promise. You're not on air at the moment. I'll put you back on in a second. I promise. If it's just to phone up and to slag off Muslims, I'm not interested, mate. That's not the game we're playing, because that doesn't help. I'm asking tonight how we can help. That doesn't help. That's divisive, and I think that's dangerous, and I think that's hate-filled. And you will interpret it differently, but I'm interpreting it as hate-filled. If you want to do that, you know LBC's phone number. You've got that. You can go and phone that. If you want to phone up and suggest positive ways that we can change things, that we can make the world a bit better, that don't involve, you know, sacking off all the Muslims, that's great. If you want to phone up and chat about McCartney, that's great. But I don't want to hate Phil Choke. Right, I'm going to put you back on and let you have your say. You're on.
Well, thanks, Ian, for having me back on. But I went to church on Sunday, and in the church I go to, there's a lot of Iranians who come to Britain as Shia Muslims and have converted to become Christians. And I tell you what, they're beautiful people. And I really love worshipping with them here. And it's a privilege to know these people. I eat their food. I'm learning some Farsi. I have no hatred to anybody, Pete.
No, you're not listening to it. You're not listening to him now.
Yeah, but I have to, you know, convey reality as it hits me. I can't deceive people. I've got to be honest, Ian. I'm sorry about that. But, I mean, I know you want to portray a certain image and we've got to exclude certain truths, but...
No, Paul, no. What do you mean I want to portray a certain image? I don't want to portray any image. I've not denied that this has got something to do with Islam. I've not denied that these people said they were doing it in the name of Allah. I've not denied that, Paul. It's not portraying a certain image, right? I am being true to myself, right? And I do not want... This is not... And you know this, man. This is not one of those hate-filled shows where we point the finger and say all Muslims are bad. All of this is bad. We don't do that on this show, Paul. There are so many outlets. There's Pete, the fella that you phone. I've never listened to his show. Do it there. There's LBC where you can do that. This ain't one of those places, Paul, and I'm really sorry, but it's not. I'm not sorry. I'm proud.
Ian, you're pointing the finger at me. I wasn't pointing the finger at anybody.
You are, mate, and you know you are. You know you are.
No, I'm not. I've got to... If something happened to me, which had a profound effect...
Okay, and I'm saying I don't believe it. And I'm entitled to say I don't believe you.
I know, but you're straight away, you've crossed the red line, and you're the...
What red line? What red line have I crossed? I've said I don't believe you. That is within my right to do.
But what? Yeah, but you haven't... On what basis are you saying that?
Because I don't believe it happened. I don't believe you, Paul. I'm allowed to say that. And if you can't take that criticism, well, then you shouldn't be phoning this show.
I would appreciate it, Ian, if you could tell me on what basis you don't believe...
I don't need... I don't...
I'm just conveying
that experience. I think... I do not believe that happened. You've called in before with an anti-Muslim...
Well, why would you say that?
I'm telling you. You have called in before with an anti-Muslim agenda. I have heard you on other radio shows with an anti-Muslim agenda. I've heard you on other radio stations with that agenda, Paul. I don't believe you, and that is my right to say I don't believe you.
You're saying, because I've got a certain perspective on the world...
Because you're anti-Muslim.
I cannot recognise truth.
Because you're anti-Muslim, I suspect that sometimes...
I'm not anti-Muslim, I deny that.
Don't believe you.
I do find Islam a very challenging ideology, I must
admit. There we go. Straight away you've gone from I deny I'm anti to I find it challenging. And if we were to go back through the vaults and play
the
calls... If we were to go back through the calls, we would know that you... Paul, mate... I've heard you on Ian Collins.
Paul,
mate, I'm being fairer than you think, because I'm a radio geek, right? I'm a radio geek. I've heard you on Ian Collins. I've heard you on Nick Abbott. I've heard you on James Whale. I've heard you on my show. I've heard you. I've heard
you.
I have heard... No, not at all, Paul. Not a fan of your poison at all. I'm a fan of when you call in for light, frothy chats. I enjoy that. I don't like your anti-Muslim rhetoric.
You are a bit self-righteous here, though, aren't you?
Well, that's not very Christian of you to say that, is it?
Well, it's stating the obvious, aren't I? I mean, you're...
There we go. Now you're having a dig. You're saying you're a Christian, and you're having a pop. I'm not self-righteous.
You called me poisonous. You said you don't believe what I say. I've said nothing. I mean, you really...
You've made up a story. You've made up a story, and you're full of hatred and anger.
No, I'm not, mate. I'm full of love, mate.
You're not, Paul. You're not, Paul. Paul, you are not full of love. Your love is so screwed up from what my concept of love is. I don't want anything to do with it, Paul. And then you've got that really mean chuckle that you do. I don't believe you're a Christian.
I'm waiting for that accusation.
I don't believe
you
are a Christian.
Yourself, are you?
No,
you're
I'm not.
A Christian.
No, I'm not.
So how can you judge other people?
What do you mean, how can I judge other people?
Perhaps you know what a Christian is, you're not a Christian yourself.
A Christian is full of love, a Christian is full of peace.
You tell me
what a Christian is, Paul. A Christian hates Muslims.
Somebody who knows Jesus Christ. It's about a man, it's about a person who died on a cross, and he paid the price for my sins. I'm saved by grace, Ian. There's no goodness in me.
Paul, you're talking bollocks, mate. Listen, call in again, but let's stay off the Muslim stuff, because you're better than that.
You are funny.
You're a nasty piece of work. But I'm turning the other cheek, and I'm invite. He's gone. He's put the phone down. You're a nasty piece of work, and that what you preach is not Christianity. But you're welcome to call in again. I forgive you. Andy, Cleo, stay there. Come to you after this.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Arabs and blacks. I mean, that's a great Christian turn of phrase, isn't it? Arabs and blacks high-fiving. Which is, by the way, the title of my autobiography that's coming out later in the year. Arabs and Blacks High-Fiving by Ian Lee. That's coming out, should be out just in time for Christmas, and I'm really looking forward to that, and I hope you're going to enjoy it. Always puts the phone down. And welcome to call him again, but trust me, I've been listening. I'm a radio geek. If you came and saw the show in Birmingham, thank you, apart from those six people that got free tickets and then left halfway through. But I'm a radio geek, and I've... I know... Like, some of you know my life better than me. I know his calls better than him. Andy!
Hello.
Hey, Andy, how you doing, man?
Not too bad. I'm a first-time caller.
Okay. You've never made a phone call before?
Not to your radio station.
Okay,
no.
Sorry, I misunderstood. I apologise.
Okay. I've been listening to what's going on in the TV and on the radio stations and your radio station, okay? Now, I've come across, I know you're not a radio station that plays music, so I came across a bit of music that I think that might be able to help everybody who has suffered or suffering for what's happened, okay?
Okay.
If you want, if you're up for it?
I'm up for it. This is going to make people that... It's not Nigel from Maidstone's anti-terrorism song, is it?
No. It's called Hans Zimmer.
Hans Zimmer, yes.
And the song's Aurora, A-U-R... sorry, A-U-R-O-R-A.
Yes. And how is that going to make people feel better?
Because I've had a past death in my family, okay?
Yes.
And the way I look at it is that they had a good life, and then the song brings out that they've gone up to the heaven. Okay, I'm not a religious person.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the way I interpret the song or the music.
Yes.
So I don't know whether you would like to play it, just to take out the tension and the people. They just want to cause conflict.
Well, let's have a little bit of it, and let's see where. Hang on a second. Here, this is it, I believe. Long, so we're not going to play all of it, but are you feeling it, Andy?
I definitely feel it. Yeah.
How did you find this piece of music?
Do you understand how the beginning is that? The depth of the song or the music, and then you start getting in, and you start getting as the song goes, the music goes on.
Yeah.
Okay, you understand it.
Okay. Okay.
All you have to do is listen to all the music.
It's 8.5 minutes.
I know you can't play it all.
Let's jump forward a bit. So, here we go.
It's how life. Can become death, and then they go up to the glitter. Like I say, I'm not religious or anything, but
we go up to the glitter.
They go up. They go up the elevator. You know the film that had what's his name?
David Niven, A Matter of Life and Death.
Yeah, that's it.
Ah, that's a film. He doesn't go up in an elevator. He goes up that flight of stairs, doesn't he?
And he's meeting all the stages.
Yeah.
Or he's passed to get up to get into heaven.
Yeah. And
that's how I feel that what's happened with the people who have been sadly killed.
Yes.
By a bunch of idiots.
They've gone up a flight of stairs to heaven.
I've gone up to heaven.
Well.
And there's a bunch of nutcases who have. Who are doing it, and I think the government should be doing more.
Well, hang on a minute. Stop the... Well, if that's what you believe, that they're going up to heaven, then that's great.
I'm sorry, am I getting too abrupt for it?
No, I just... What do you mean the government should be doing more? What should they be doing?
They should be giving the police more power.
What power would you give the police that they haven't got now?
Putting more armed officers on the streets.
All right, so what's that going to do?
They don't want to be putting the army on the street, but right. Give the police more power.
Tell me what powers, apart from arming them, because some of them are armed, what powers should they give the police that the police don't have that will stop what happened on Saturday happening again?
Stop, search and shoot.
Stop, search and shoot?
Yeah. stop him. If he looks suspicious, stop him.
And shoot him. And shoot him.
Well, not shoot them on sight, but...
Take them away to an alleyway and shoot them?
No.
Well, why are you going to shoot them? Who are you shooting?
Well, what I'm saying is that, like happened in London, when you see them and they've got knives or whatever on them, shoot to kill. It's like
that's what they did. That's what they did. They saw them running around with knives, and we're late for the ads. They saw them running around with knives, and they shot them and killed them.
But the police should have more powers.
Give me an example of a power they should have.
They should be able to stop and search.
And shoot them.
Well, no, it's actually shoot them there and then. No.
Thanks for calling, Andy. I mean, that's what we're dealing with. What should we let the police stop, search and shoot? That's the new policy. Oh, man, no wonder I'm so depressed.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
He has made a covenant with the night, and with the darkness he is in agreement.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, this show isn't going the way I was expecting it to. Goblin on Twitter... You're being obnoxious tonight, Ian. You invite people to offer a solution, then shoot it down if uncomfortable. That is the prob. I've replied, his solution was stop, search and shoot. Yes, I took that apart as it was nonsense. He wanted to stop. He wanted the police. First of all, he's saying, well, the government should give the police more powers. What powers? They should give the police more powers. What powers? What more powers could the police have? Well, they should be armed. Well, some of them are armed. Not all of them want to be armed. Okay, yeah, give the police... What powers do you want them to give? They should be given the power to stop, search and shoot. Are you nuts? Are you nuts? If that's me being obnoxious, Goblin, then yeah, it's me being obnoxious. Jeez, if you live in a world where you want the police... Someone's texting. Andy made sense. The police should be given more powers. Tell me one. Tell me one power the police should be given. Andy made sense. The police should be given more powers. Tell me one. I mean, seriously, maybe I'm missing something here. Sam's calling from Minnesota. Good evening, Sam. Sam? We can't hear you, Sam. Let's put Sam back, see if he comes back. Yes, Hannah!
Evening.
Evening, Hannah.
I can't lighten the mood now.
Yeah, let's do it, baby!
Good. I just want to say thank you for last night. It was really good evening.
Yeah, it was a really good night. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry I had to leave so early this morning, Hannah. I had to get back home.
It was really good.
I had to get back home before anybody noticed. I've been out all night.
I know, I'm knackered.
Me too. I think I may have left my socks there. Could you send them to me?
I know, I hid them from Raymond, so don't worry.
Well, the fact that Raimondo was so willing to take part as well, it was a whole smorgasbord of pleasures, sensual pleasures. Anyway, Hannah, enough of this sexual fun.
Move on.
What have you got for us, Hannah?
Yes, Birmingham last night,
yes,
at the Glee Club, Ian Lee versus Radio.
Yes.
That guy on the stage, he was brilliant.
He was good, wasn't he? It was all right. I'm told... Right, here's the thing, right? I did this show that I've been doing, and it was the last one I ever did, and outside the show, because I couldn't get in, and this woman came up to me, she said, oh, I've got 6 free tickets to come to the show tonight. Who's on? And then she looked at the poster and went, oh, it's some bloke called Ian. And she didn't recognise it was me. So I said, oh, he's rubbish. And she went, oh, is he? I said, yeah, he's rubbish. You should go another night. She went, oh, but I've got these free tickets. And blah, 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 blah. Anyway, she came to the show. And halfway through the first half, 2 of her mates got up really loudly and just stamped all the way to the bar and made a real noise. And then I thought that all of her friends, her and all of her friends, had left during the interval. But then someone just messaged me and said, oh, no, only 2 of them left because they'd had a big argument or something.
I didn't know that.
It was a weird vibe. They were sending off a weird vibe.
I know they left, but...
Yeah, well, listen, I'm glad you came. It was nice to see you and Raimonda, of course, and it went very well, and I've been able to put a full stop at the end of that chapter of my life, which is wonderful.
Yeah, it's a shame, but I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you very much, Anna. It was nice to see you.
Yeah, we'll be down the rabbit hole.
Okay, I'm going to cut you off now, yeah? There we go. We won't play it tonight, but I tell you what, we'll play it tomorrow. Dan Aykroyd. Dan Aykroyd happened. Dan Aykroyd phoned me up at home this morning. Now, the thing is, our landline, Chris and Cleo, I'll come to you in a minute. Our landline, the cradle is upstairs, but the phone had been downstairs for a week. We don't use it. The only person that rings my landline is this African woman, right? And she phones up and there's always music in the background and I can't understand what she's saying because she's got a really thick African accent. And I keep saying, please don't phone me up anymore. Please don't phone me. I'm begging you, please. And I do 1471 and call back the number and it's never her that answers. It's always someone of a different accent. I had a Chinesey-sounding fellow and an Indian-sounding fellow and a Britishy-sounding fellow. I know they could all be British anyway. I'm just saying this as a shorthand because I'm a racist. Anyway, yesterday I made a point before I went out. I took the phone upstairs. The battery was dead and I put it in the cradle and I charged it. And I went off to Birmingham and then I came back from Birmingham and I went in and I checked the phone and it was charging. Yes. And then I got up this morning and I went to the phone and I took it off the cradle and it died. It hadn't charged up at all. It just died. I was like, what the flipping heck? Dan Aykroyd's going to phone me up in 20 minutes. So I managed to put it on the cradle and I must have had 30 seconds juice because 10 minutes later, early, the phone went. And it was a guy saying, is that Ian Lee? I've got Dan Aykroyd with me. I said, whoa, hang on. Can you call on my mobile? Well, let me get a pen and paper. I said, no, I've got to give you the number now because this phone is going to die. Anyway, I gave him my mobile and a few minutes later, Mr. Dan Aykroyd phoned me up and I had to record it on my mobile on speakerphone. With a digital recorder pushed up, and Dan said, are we on speakerphone? I said, yeah. Is this for broadcast? I went, yeah. Is this quality going to be good enough? I went, it'll be all right, Dan, trust me. And it was Dan Aykroyd. And it sounded like Dan Aykroyd. And it was wonderful. And we talked about Saturday Night Live, Spies Like Us, and him almost becoming a priest. And it was just, it's 12 minutes. And it's wonderful. We'll play it tomorrow. Let's go to Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Evening, Ian. Chris, how's it going?
It's all right, fella. What you got for us?
I was just thinking earlier, when he phoned up and mentioned the stop, search and shoot.
Yes.
I thought, what's the point in the first two?
Okay.
And then I thought, if Monty Python's were still making films.
Yes.
This would be brilliant for him.
Oh yeah, it would be. Yes, I mean, you might as well just shoot. You're right. The police might as well just shoot. If someone looks a bit swarthy. Shoot them. Got a beard? Shoot them.
Walking behind a wheelbarrow.
Walking down with a wheelbarrow. Hey guys, I don't want to get political, but sometimes the police do that. I don't want it, but sometimes they do that. I've been thinking about Monty Python a lot because I just listened to the Michael Palin diaries and it's my birthday this week, Chris, and I believe that I'm going to get the complete box set of Monty Python albums on CD. And then I listened I was listening to someone else's autobiography and he mentioned that Terry Jones had gone to stay with him and all of this. Goodness sakes, I love Monty Python. Did you get to see them when they did their live shows a couple of years ago?
No, I didn't.
Oh, mate, it was brilliant. I wasn't sure what it would be like, but it was like a big rock concert and they were doing their greatest hits and it was wonderful. And I felt so lucky to be in that audience. And I want to feel like that again. I want to feel like that, Chris. I want to feel light and giddy and full of excitement and joy. And at the moment, I feel miserable and a little bit scared and a bit depressed.
Yeah, it was like, when I was a kid, I kept putting the video on of live at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, yeah. That was good, because they swore in that one.
Yeah.
That was...
When you're a kid, that was just brilliant.
You're right. When you're a kid, right, how old are we talking, Chris?
I was, about 10, 11.
Oh, delicious. They swear like... they drop the F-bomb. They might even drop the C-bomb, I'm not sure. But when you're a kid and you first...
find recordings of adults swearing, and swearing free and easy. For me, it was Derek and Clive. There's nothing funnier. There is nothing funnier to hear a group of grown-ups F this, S that, U F in W. It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like, my dad come home and says, you've been watching that Monty Python? No, Dad, no. It clicked on when I was walking around the back garden shouting Albatross.
Albatross! It's a good sketch. My favourite sketch, and I must have been about 14 when I saw this, and it's quite an obscure one, but we loved it, the Dirty Vicar sketch. And it was, they were doing like a spoof award show, and it was just a device to link into sketches. And they said the award for best whatever is the Dirty Vicar sketch. Let's see that sketch now. And it goes to this kind of period. It's so childish. It goes to this sort of period piece, and they're all in Victorian clothes. And Michael Palin is saying to Connie Booth, well, I must say, it's absolutely marvellous. And it goes on for ages. And then about 2 or 3 minutes into it, Terry Gilliam walks in, dressed as a vicar, and he goes, I like tits. And he walks off. And that's it. And that's the Dirty Vicar sketch. And it's so childish. I've been really bad language tonight. I apologise. It's so childish and so stupid and silly. It's brilliant. And we would watch that again and again, me and my mates, and just in fits of laughter. If I watched it now, I probably wouldn't laugh quite the same way. But they're so delicious, Monty Python. Anyone that doesn't like Monty Python, there's something missing from your soul. Monty Python, yeah, and the Beatles. That's all you need, really.
Yeah, what else would you want?
Exactly. Anything else, Chris? I know that wasn't quite what you called in to talk about, but I enjoyed that little discussion. Hang on, what's the word I'm trying... Not diversion. What's the word I'm trying to think of?
Don't know.
You're not going to have a clue, are you? Chris, listen...
No, I forgot what I found up about that.
It doesn't matter, but we had a good chat, and I appreciate that. Thank you. A little diversion. No, that's not right. I want to say discursion. I don't want to say discussion. I don't know. Steve!
Hello.
Hello, Steve. How you doing, mate? You all right?
How are you, Ian? All right?
I'm all right, thank you.
You're saying I'm good form tonight?
Well, I'm finding that this is my therapy. This is discourse, yes.
I can see that. Are you a Cancerian?
Am I what?
A Cancerian. Because I am.
Are you flirting with me in the 70s?
No. I'm a Cancerian. That's no. Because you said your birthday was this week.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Well, no. Yeah. Well, no. I must be on the cusp of it. I'm a Gemini.
Oh, right. Got you. Yeah. Got you.
Well,
I just thought... I rang you up. I rang James in the week, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously, like you, I was pretty smacked in the gob when it happened again in London, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, because James was on last night, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, I got on right at the end and... James is a bit of a sausage. He's a great bloke. He put me on with a Muslim guy from Leeds.
Oh, yeah.
And then James said to me, what did I feel? Now, I heard you earlier having a pop of that geezer, and you was right, yeah?
Yeah.
It's not about ring up and have a go at the Muslims.
No.
But...
No, but, yeah.
On the other hand, you got the radicalist lot, which we all know about, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, my beliefs, I mean, I don't want to fall out with you or nothing, but my belief is if...
Hey, listen, Steve, let's agree now. If we fall out, we can shake hands at the end of it, and you know, I'm not going to, you know, we can agree to disagree on stuff, but go on.
Hello. Oh, hold on, mate, sorry.
Who's that? What's going on?
I'm at work, hold on a minute, mate.
He's talking about radicists.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's bunking off work.
Sorry, lad, sorry, I'm at work, yeah, doing a night shift. sorry about that.
Go on.
I do apologise, Ian. No, so, the thing being is what I was trying to say, Ian.
Yes.
Is like...
I like it when people call me Ian. no one calls me Ian anymore, and I like that.
I'm a strong believer, yeah, if you're in that way inclined and you're a terrorist, blah, 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 don't mess about, out you go, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I also said to the Muslim guy, all the red tape's got to stop. You know, we believe in this, you believe in that, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if you heard me speaking. I said, come under one flag.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop all the bullshit. Excuse me.
All right. I don't know what you're saying, though. We've got to stop the red tape, blah, blah, blah. Tell me what you mean.
Well, what I mean is...
Yes.
Look, everyone's full of excuses here.
Yeah.
Right? they don't like some of our ways in the Western blah blah, you know, in England.
Stop saying blah blah blah. Say it.
Sorry.
Say it.
They don't believe in some of our beliefs.
Right.
We don't believe in some of theirs.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. That's fine. But when you're in England or when you're in Rome, do as the Romans do. Yeah?
Yes.
And in that way, you can all come together.
Yeah.
Round the flag, under the same table, all blend in and mix. Don't be.
Oh, I agree. I agree, right. But if I go and live in France, it's never going to happen. I would learn French, which is why it's never going to happen, because I can't learn French.
No.
And I would go and do the best I could to live a French lifestyle, but at home, you know, maybe I'd still cook bacon and eggs, but I'd go, you know, that's
exactly
what you got to kind of do.
So why, Ian, why is it for 20, and I don't want to get political here, because I know James voted to remain. I voted to leave, right?
Yeah.
But also, I'm going to be straight, I can't stand Corbyn and the other carrot cruncher liberal bloke.
Okay,
right?
Well, listen, we have to, let's not talk about politics, because we have to have this election, and we have to be careful.
Sorry about that, I just had to say that.
Yes.
But the thing being is, right, what I'm trying to say is if people just stop for 1 second,
yes,
put their foot down,
yeah,
they stop pussyfooting around like a load of, you know, why is England scared to upset people's feathers? Just do something to show the British people that we mean what we say.
Well, like what? Say, like what? For example?
Right. For example,
yes,
you know all the outfit in the prisons? They say in our prisons that they're breeding them like rabbits, yeah? To come out and blow everyone up.
Well, who
so
says that?
In the prisons.
Who says
yeah,
that?
They've said it all loads.
I've not heard anyone say they're breeding them like rabbits to come out and blow us up.
No, well, that's just an expression. They're teaching them radical stuff, to come out and have a pop at us, right? The teacher's in there, right? So you tell me then, Ian, right?
Yeah.
Why are we allowing that?
We shouldn't allow that, you're right.
No, but why is it happening, Ian? Because, let's be fair, right? Quote me if I'm wrong, but we're supposed to be a nation of educated people, yeah?
Well, That is from the show this evening, Steve. That is debatable.
Yeah,
but supposedly, yes.
Yeah, supposedly.
Supposedly,
yeah. But you've got educated people sitting around the prison table.
Yeah,
but you know, I've nearly said it again. Then
don't
you got you got people sitting around the table discussing all the laws and what shouldn't happen, what should go on, who should be in this wing, who should be.
Yes.
Look, just go in there. Yes. Grab them all together and go. Listen, do you really want? Is that what you believe in? If they go, yes, this is our belief.
Yeah.
Say, well, I'm sorry, you're gone. You're on the nearest plane,
to
and
where?
You're out of England.
To where?
We don't need radical nutcases in the country.
I agree.
What is the problem?
I agree, but where would you send them?
I would send them to a country that suits their beliefs.
For example?
Well, the thing is, they bomb the crap out of Libya, aren't they?
Yeah, so we could send them to Libya, because it's a bomb site.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. But the thing is, you've got to cut off people in the world.
Yes.
I've got to sort of say, listen, this
but we bombed Libya.
Do I, mate?
We bombed Libya.
I know we did. Which didn't bleed and help, did it?
No, it made things worse.
Yeah.
Made everything worse. Completely unsettled that whole area.
Should have frigging kept out of it.
Just, what's your language? But you can't just send, because some of these people are British and English.
No, I understand that, mate.
You
but
can't
what can you
just
do with them?
Well, you can't just send them to Libya.
What would you do, eh?
Mate,
well, honestly, I mean,
Steve, honestly, I don't know, and I think we agree on more stuff than perhaps you thought we would. But
yeah,
I disagree with shipping them out if
so
they're
what
British.
Would you do, Ian?
I don't know, mate. Go on.
Can I just say something?
Go on.
I don't believe in.
Yeah.
He's a lovely guy, but he came on a talk show, I can't think of his name now. His son died in Warrington, but he's now involved in a big thing like him radicalising them,
Right.
Getting them back to normal.
All right, yeah, okay.
But please just say one thing to me. Tell me if you think I'm mad.
Well,
these people are absolutely gone,
yeah?
Yeah. They're gone. These terrorists are gone in the head, yeah?
Yeah.
They've gone. Right?
Yeah.
How can you get someone? Could you tell me on the phone?
Well, I think that if I've understood these kind of de-radicalising programmes, I think it's for people who are kind of on the cusp and who are questioning, you know, the sort of, I'm going to speak in really lazy shorthand, but I'm tired, who are kind of questioning Western values and who are considering the possibility of extremism. I always thought that those de-radicalisation programmes for people like that, if you're at home and you're stacking up on fertiliser and nails, I think you're probably, not to make light of it, but I think you're, yes, you are probably too far down that road to be deprogrammed.
Exactly. So what could you do with them, Ian?
I don't know,
you
Steve.
You just said to me, Steve, that a lot of them are British, right?
Yeah.
A lot of them are. It's don't beat around the bush.
Yeah.
A lot of them are British.
Yes.
But the thing is, Ian, if they don't want to be here with me and you and, like, my family and your family because they hate us...
Yes.
Then get out of England.
But isn't it, and again, I don't really know, isn't it that they want to make this an Islamic state, isn't it?
But it
No, but I know they can't, but they will fight. Here's the thing. Here's where you can't win, Steve, right? Is because if they are so convinced in this fantasy land that they will go to when they die, that they will be rewarded, that they will die and they'll go to somewhere much better than this, you know, and they'll be rewarded with 72 virgins. You can't argue with that. You can't offer anything better than that. I mean, personally, I would prefer 72 sluts, but that would be better. It would be. But you can't offer anything better than that. You're up against a fairy story.
Right. So, the end of the day, I remember you saying this last week, though.
Yeah.
I do remember you saying it.
Yeah.
You said on, and I know you ain't one of those guys that go back on what you say.
Well.
You said on your show.
Uh-oh.
Whatever.
Here we go.
Whatever happens, it's got to stop.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I'm fed up, Ian, I hope you don't mind me saying it. I'm fed up with people ringing in. I've heard some of them on your show. I know you've had a go at them.
Yeah.
These pussyfooters ringing up, trying to say, like, well, let's go and hold hands with them. They're in cuckoo land.
No, but I'm enjoying our conversation, Steve. I agree with some of it and disagree, but I'm not...
Yeah, of course.
But what we're doing, and here's a lesson for the other callers who perhaps didn't get this, is that we're respecting each other's views and we're having a good discourse. And also, I do sometimes go back on what I say because I'm constantly re-evaluating evidence and re-evaluating my opinion.
Of course you are.
I don't want to go around... I think the holding hands and the showing the love thing is more... as a symbol of, I interpret it as a symbol of unity between us, between me and you, Steve. I would happily hold your hand.
Yeah, I got you.
Because that is like two fingers up. That's two fingers up to them. Up yours, you're not having this.
Yeah, I understand. I'll see where you're coming
from. I don't want to go and hold a terrorist's hand and say, I love you, man.
I didn't mean it like that, Ian.
No.
It's just that I hear people ring up going... Yeah. Well, it's get round the table. Ian, I wouldn't get round the table with him. There's £1 million on the table. I'll blow him up.
Well, hang on, though. Because, and people compare this to the IRA, and the comparisons are really tricky.
I don't think they can, because the IRA wanted something from it.
Well, this is the thing, right? We ended up, we now have some form of peace in Ireland. Some form, and it's still, you know, fragile.
Still rocky, yeah, still rocky.
Because people did... invite them around the table and did sit and talk to them. And it took years and it took lots of deals that you and I, Steve, will never know about. I'm sure there were so many meetings that were secret meetings that were happening. And it looks like it might kind of be getting somewhere. If Daesh, if ISIS had an end point they were trying to reach that wasn't death to all infidels,
you could talk to them.
Exactly. I would suggest that then talking to them is kind of an important thing, you know. But
they can't get their heads out of their backside, Ian, for thinking that we're all, excuse my French, thinking we're all scumbags and we shouldn't be on this planet. Yeah?
Steve, go on, very quickly, and I've got to move on.
Oh, sorry, E. Well, I was just going to say to you that about 4 years ago, I don't know if you remember, they'd done a documentary, and I'm sure it was brought up on your show or James's, where they went into private schools in London and around London, and found books where they were teaching young kids of 12 that Christians and Jews were just scum.
I don't remember that documentary, but I did cover a story similar. We did cover a story similar to that when I was at a local radio station. That there was
this was an actual documentary. Yeah. I'm telling you, check it out. Right. You'll see it was actually reported and no one followed it up.
Steve, thanks for calling, Matt. That was good, wasn't it? That was all right. You going to go and do some work now, you lazy git?
I am a security. Otherwise, I get shot.
Thank you very much indeed. There we go. Nice to make a little joke about it at the end. 0344 499 1000. Paul Cleo, stay there. Come to you after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Sam's enjoying the show on text. Just tuned in at 12:15. Did I tune into LBC by mistake? Get out of England? Why are you entertaining such bile? That's discourse? Providing a platform for ill-informed opinion? Yeah, well, that's not what actually... You missed a huge point of it, Sam, but well done. Thanks very much indeed. If we don't allow people to say we have to kick them out of England, then ISIS have won, goddammit. Evening, Paul.
Evening, Ian.
You're right, Paul. What you got for us?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just listening, long-time listener, first-time caller. I've used the phone before, though.
Oh, good for you. Well done. My favourite Vic and Bob joke, and I believe Vic and Bob are next week are recording a new episode of Big Night Out. My favourite Vic and Bob joke, it's childish.
Yeah,
Bob turns to Vic and he says, Vic, have you just farted? No, sorry, it doesn't say that. He says, Vic, have you farted? Vic says, no. And Bob says, what? Never. And it's just so stupid. I love it.
I've been listening to a lot of Atletico Mint. This is
Bob Mortimer's podcast. Is it any good? I've not had a chance to listen to it.
Just genius. And apparently he does a live show as well, which is I've got to get to see.
I've been lucky enough to work with Bob. He wrote a show for me and my friend Mackenzie that went nowhere. And he's just the nicest man in the world. We should get him on this show one night.
Slightly surreal, yeah. And I don't quite get where he's going all the time, but he's hilarious. Yeah.
No, and
he made a fantastic joke about the Manchester gig the other night.
Oh, yeah, how did it go?
It's all right. Liam coming on with an orange hoodie on. Nice to give an RAC man a go for once.
Say that again, hang on a minute. Because I didn't see any of this, because I was busy.
Liam came on with a bright orange Manchester-style pretty green top on.
Yeah.
And Bob tweeted, nice for give an RAC guy a go for once.
Good.
He deleted it very soon after, but it was very hilarious.
Well, good for him. I saw everyone is... I love that Liam Gallagher is calling out his brother for not going to the concert and
Someone has done Wonderwall. I think he should have done.
They didn't, and that's fine. You know, whatever, it's fine.
That's fine, but he could have come on the side and just, The man's 50 now, so he's pipes and slippers.
He is, isn't it? Blimey, I nearly swore then, because I'm 44 this week. 44.
Jesus, mate, I'm 46 this year.
Oh, Paul, man,
on the other side of it, downhill.
The next big one for both of us is 50. In 16 years' time, I'm going to be 60.
I know, and you're thinking multiples of 10 then.
Man, it's game over. It's almost over.
Well, saying that, I'm going through a bit of a midlife crisis where I think I'm going to buy an Enduro race bike, and my wife is shooting me down in flames at the moment.
Why do you want an Enduro? What is an Enduro race bike? Like, has it got drop handlebars?
No, it's like a cross-country motorcycle.
Do that.
And I don't know how to ride a bike.
No, don't do that. It sounds terrible. It's a terrible idea.
No, I just see everyone go up to town very quickly, and I'm stuck in traffic. So
Here's the thing, I've always wanted to buy... But I don't live in London anymore, so it would be kind of pointless. I've always wanted a little scooter.
London,
well, I want a little scooter, little Vespa or something.
Yeah, do that.
But I don't want to go on... Are you allowed... You can't go on the motorway on a Vespa.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
I am not going on the M4 on a scooter.
Come on in. Go Northwick Park and come in that way. You'll be all right.
Oh, man, don't... Because they're only a few grand.
Yeah, I know. £6,000. £5,000, get a good second-hand one.
I might buy a Vespa.
Yeah,
Kat's nodding. She thinks it's a good idea. I'm going to buy a Vespa. Right, beautiful.
Do it. And Instagram that.
Nice one, Paul. I'll Instagram my broken legs as I come off.
You've been in Northwick Park. You can go as far as you
need. Flipping heck. Anyway, did we get to why you called in?
No, not at all, yeah.
Oh, go on.
I prized myself off the a bed in Nottingham at the Best Western Plus. It's got Plus at the end of it.
Yes.
Which I think means you've got a toilet.
Yeah.
To phone you for the first time in about 10 years.
Okay. Wow. Hang on. What was the last call you made to me?
Oh, I know. I never did.
I've just been listening for 10 years.
Oh, okay. Right.
I'm having a cheeky tab outside a very small window while I'm calling you. Just listening to everything else about the state of all the terrorism things that are going on at the moment.
Yeah.
It's very simple. You don't need to involve religion. If GCHQ and the Metropolitan Police and everyone else has got a watch list of 500 ongoing, 3,000 extended, and 20,000 people that's on a watch list, you just need to revisit all of those people and put all the effort into that. And if I was in the... I'm a Catholic, Irish Catholic.
Yeah.
Right? And if the Church of England local to me, where my family goes sometimes, had a very extreme bridge club or flower arranging club,
well,
and it was known that everyone was involved in some sort of terror plot from the Church of England, I would expect people to just expect to be called on by the police.
This is the thing. At least one of the blokes, I think two, that did the thing on Saturday had been flagged up to the police. The Manchester guy had been flagged up to the police.
Yeah, yeah.
But until the point, and this is the thing, I suppose, until the point of them, it's not illegal to think, I'm going to kill you, Paul.
Yeah, but that's like domestic violence.
No, but if I think...
A far extreme version of domestic violence.
No, because if I think I'm going to kill you, Paul, right, it's not illegal for me to think No one knows what I'm thinking, and me saying, even if I said it out loud, I'm going to kill Paul, that's not illegal, right?
No, but if you Googled it...
No, hang on. But if I were then to go on the radio or go online or whatever and say, right, everybody, there's this guy called Paul, and I think, and this is what he looks like, and I think you should all go and kill him or beat him up, that's illegal because I'm inciting people to violence.
Okay, but let's say that you had researched how to kill Paul quite extensively, and the police have been watching you about how to kill me.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And you've done quite a lot of research into fertilizer or whatever it is that you've been looking at, or you've been on ISIS websites. And I think Google are responsible, and that's a separate subject, but they are responsible for whatever they put online.
Because they don't put, like, Google don't put stuff online.
They facilitate the ways of making bombs or doing, you know, or making jihad.
Well, no, they don't, though.
Yeah, but they do, though.
No, but they don't, though. It's out there. The information. No, the information is out there online. It's out there. It's online. That's not Google that have done that, or Bing, or Yahoo. That's there.
Ian, they're hosting it, so they're responsible.
No, they're not hosting it. Google are not hosting jihadi websites.
Yeah, they are, because it's on their servers. So it's like
no, it's not. They're a search engine.
No, but they've got servers, Ian.
They're not. Google are not hosting jihadi websites.
They are.
I'm sorry, you're wrong.
I know what I'm talking about. They are.
Well, you're wrong. You are wrong. Google are not hosting jihadi websites.
Where do these websites pop up, and how do they become available to the UK? How do they arrive at our computers?
Well, you tell me, Paul, because you know so much about it.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that.
No, you are. You've just said, you know. You tell me. You educate me.
I do. I'm not going to be. Whatever your internet.
No, you educate me. How does it come onto my computer?
Google have thousands of servers around the world, and the way that they work is that they then contain or they publish. It's a publisher. They then publish those websites. They don't exist in an ether somewhere else. They are actually through Google's websites and servers, which are dotted around the world in the thousands. And they are responsible for then hosting that information. If it was child pornography or it was any other hate speech, they are the responsible people for doing that. And what they're not trying to do is censor themselves because they feel that they're...
All right, right. First of all, I don't buy your interpretation of the internet, but maybe somebody can... because I'm getting loads of people on. First of all, I don't believe it, and secondly, I'm getting loads of people saying on Periscope.
Why are the government going after?
I'll finish the sentence. I'm getting loads of people on Periscope saying this is absolute balls that you're speaking.
No, it's not balls because that's what the government is going after Google.
No,
hosting.
no, Well, that may be the case, but the government consists of Ian Duncan Smith, who said something along the lines of, "I want to go after all of these companies that operate on an internet." That was a sentence that he said. So the government don't know what they're talking about.
He's an idiot, and his first two initials, you know, spell idiot. So,
they're going after Google for listing, not for hosting.
Whichever it is.
No, Paul. Listing and hosting are light years apart. Come on, man.
Okay, let's split the difference.
No. It's not a difference that needs to be split. There's about 5 mile gap between listing and hosting.
That's fine, but let's go back to listing. Stop listing them.
Okay, well, that's a different thing from hosting, which you've just spent the last five minutes arguing because you know more about the internet than me.
No. I apologise. Then let's move to listing. Let's stop listing it.
Well, so you're now saying they don't host it?
Ian, I'm only talking about the actual availability.
No, Paul, you've just spent 5 minutes, and this is why precision is so important. Okay, vagaries. Listen to me, Paul.
Ian,
no, Paul, listen to me. Listen to me. This is why this. When we're talking about something like this, vagaries.
Well, my point, Paul,
let me finish what I'm saying, Paul, because you've just spent 5 minutes talking nonsense. You patronised me, saying you knew more about me. Let me finish what I'm saying, man.
I've been listening to you for 10 years. Why would I patronise you? I've only called you up once.
Right, because you've just said you know more about this than me.
No, I'm just talking about the listing, the availability.
No, Paul, you were not talking about listing. You were talking about hosting.
Ian, but you're being very pernickety.
No, I'm not. I'm being factual.
You're missing the point. I'm talking about the availability of information.
Paul, you've just spent 5 minutes... Paul...
Please, can I just get my point?
No, mate, you can't, because we've got... I want to correct the fake information you've just put out.
I've accepted it, and I've apologised.
No, but listen, you've just spent... Paul, seriously, man, are you drunk or something?
No, I'm not.
Because you're embarrassing yourself, man.
No, I'm not.
You are.
Thanks for the first time call.
If you let me finish making my point that you keep interrupting, you'll get to your point.
I won't call again, Ian.
Honestly, I couldn't care less, mate. Thanks for that, because
I've been a long-term listener.
I couldn't care less. You've just come on and spoke rubbish for 5 minutes.
I haven't. I'm talking about the availability.
No, Paul, please let me finish, and then you can make your point. You've just spent 5 minutes talking about how Google hosts this stuff and how they've got servers all around the world and how they host this stuff. And I've argued that they don't host this stuff.
I agree with you.
Paul, will you let me finish?
I am, but I'm agreeing with you.
Well, can you stop interrupting, please, mate?
Go ahead, Ian.
Thank you. You patronised me and told me you knew...
I'm not patronising you. You're...
Are you going to let me finish, Paul, or not? Because if not, then, that's it.
No, but I'm saying you're an icon to me, so yes, of course I'm going to let you finish.
Thank you. You patronised me and
I didn't, and
said that you knew more about the internet than me.
Listing.
You didn't say listing, mate. It was
it
me.
It doesn't matter. It's the same
information. It does matter. It's completely...
No, it's not. It's the same flow of information.
No, Paul, it's completely different.
How is it, Ian, when the information still arrives here?
It's completely different, Paul.
No, but why? What I'm saying is...
You talked about hosting and about... No. You've not let me finish the point, mate, so I don't know what I'm talking for. You could either carry on spouting nonsense and embarrassing yourself, or you could let me finish making my point, clear up the mistake that you've made, and then we can get to your point.
And I have apologised. Can we get past the internet part?
No, because you've not let me make the point, Paul.
Go ahead.
You're going to interrupt again.
I will not.
Right. You patronised me, and you said that you knew more about the internet than I did, and you spent 5 minutes arguing that Google were implicit in this because they host jihadi websites. And I argued that they don't host...
Or list.
You interrupted, Paul. Listen, it's been a really... If I've lost you as a listener, Paul, then that'll
have to be the case, mate.
But
I'm trying to get onto the fact that
you've
got a watch list.
No, Paul, it's Paul. I'm not interested, mate. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks, Ian. Cheers for your help.
You're very welcome. Okay. There's a big difference between hosting and listening, and it is a huge important thing. And I just think when we're pointing the blame of finger, the finger of blame at internet companies, we've got to point the finger for something they're actually doing, not something they're not doing. I just like dealing in facts. Cheers for your help. I did enjoy that. Are we doing the break now, or are we doing it at the end? Yes, Paul.
Oh, I'm back again.
Yes, Paul.
No, I wanted to just move past the internet side of things, Ian.
Okay, no, we finished, mate.
No, I wanted to actually talk about the point I was making.
Well, no, we spent 10 minutes exploring a point, and it was you pumping out, I believe, what the kids call fake news. So...
I'm not a fake news person.
Well, here's the thing. I
actually just wanted to talk about the watch list.
I don't want to talk about it with you.
I was actually making a very valid point.
Well, if it was as factually incorrect as your introduction point.
And I apologise for that, and giving me any credence on
Paul,
that.
Paul, if it was as factual. Let me finish a sentence, mate, because you're very, very rude. You are very rude.
Well, I feel the same way, Ian.
You're a very rude man.
Well, you are too, I'm sorry.
You've called me twice.
Yeah, because I'm trying to make a point.
You are a very rude man.
I'm not trying to make it a religious point. I'm trying to make it a very factual point.
No, but this is the thing. This is what I'm... This is Paul, listen to me, rude man. This is what I'm saying. You're saying you want to make a factual... You're saying you want to... Shut up.
I'm trying to make a point that...
Paul, I'm not... Paul, you are so rude.
How am I rude by making out that Islam is not the problem here, that the watch list is the only thing
this
government...
Paul, listen to me. Let me finish a sentence without interrupting, right?
You're focused on one thing, Ian.
Yes, facts. I'm focused on facts, Paul. You're saying you want to... Let me finish a sentence! God, you're so rude!
I'm not. I'm trying to make a very valid point.
Let me finish my sentence. Let me finish my sentence. Please let me... Right, no one can hear you. Jesus, God almighty. Hopefully, when I put him back on air, he'll listen, inshallah. Paul, you can make the point, but please let me finish this sentence that you've interrupted over a dozen times, right?
Yeah, but please make it quick, Ian.
On my show, Paul, I'll take as long as I want to make a point. And the thing is, it would have been over 10 minutes ago if you hadn't been so rude.
I'm trying not to be rude. I'm trying to make a point.
I don't think you know how not to be rude.
You're
really telling me how to do my show? You're interrupting me?
I didn't say that. You're taking that out of context.
You told me to be quick.
I know, because you've made the same point about...
No, I haven't made it. Here's the thing. I haven't got to the end of the point.
Your listeners have got to hear, but I agreed with you.
No, I
made a mistake.
God, you're so rude. Are you sure you've not been drinking tonight? Because this is the kind of aggro I get from drunks.
I'm taking your point.
No, you're not, because you won't listen to the point.
I have.
What is my point?
I agree with you.
What is my point?
Your listeners.
Tell me what my point is.
I patronised you.
No, that wasn't my point.
Yeah, you've made that about...
That wasn't my point. Well, I haven't made the point.
No, you made it.
No, I haven't, Paul. Tell me what my point was.
I patronised you.
That wasn't the point.
Yes, it was.
No, Paul, don't tell me what my point was. I haven't made my point yet because you won't allow me to finish the bloody sentence.
Hang on, you said 6 times that I messed up postings and listings.
Yeah, that's not the point. That's not the point.
Well, then there's another point then. Let's talk about that one.
Can I get to it? Can I finish the sentence, Paul? Yeah. Thank you, mate. I appreciate that. And I hope we're going at a fast enough speed for you, Paul. I really do.
No, hang on. No, that's wrong. I've been very polite and I've agreed.
No, you haven't. You've been nothing but rude. I've never had such a rude caller.
Oh, come on. There's been loads of...
I have never... had such a rude caller as you, Paul.
I don't think your listeners would think I'm being rude. I'm trying to get...
I think they would. Can I make my point?
I don't think they would. I don't think they would.
God, you're very patronising. Can I make my point?
Yes, of course. I've said it 5 times.
Okay. Well, you promise not to interrupt before the end of the point.
100%.
Okay. So you patronised me twice, and you've...
There you go. So you said patronise.
There you go. You've interrupted. You can't do it, can you?
That's your point. That was the point.
No, it wasn't, Paul. It wasn't. It wasn't my point. I know what my point is. Can I please make it?
Well, then let's go to the point that isn't about patronising or listening.
Well, I'm hoping that you've got enough manners in you that I can finish my whole sentence, okay?
So I'm gonna make a different point, please.
I haven't got...
What have I annoyed you? What have I annoyed you by?
I haven't got to the point. If you shut up, I'll tell you.
Okay, but don't mention patronising.
Don't tell me what to say.
Well, then don't say those, because that's your whole point.
No, it's not my point.
Well, it was for about the past 10 minutes.
God, if you weren't so rude, if you took your thumb out of your ass, right?
I'm only trying
and
to get
listened.
To your point.
I would love to get to the point in the last 6 minutes of the show, Paul. I can think of nothing better than getting to my point. But you keep promising me you're not going to interrupt, and then you interrupt.
I don't think there is a point. Get on with the point, then.
God, you're horrible. What a horrible man you are.
Horrible. No, Ian, you're not saying the thing you're saying you're
because
going
you
to
keep...
say. I'm only just defending myself. I'm not a horrible man.
You keep interrupting. Can I make my point and you won't interrupt?
Yes.
Right.
100%.
You've patronised me 3 times now, and you've...
Hang on, that's a sad point.
Paul, listen, it's not working for me, mate. I'm going to let you go.
Yeah, but you're not saying a new point.
I'm making...
Patronising this thing.
Okay, Paul. You're right.
To talk about what
you're
I want to talk
absolutely
about.
Absolutely right, Paul. You're absolutely right, and I can only apologise, mate.
I am.
I know you are,
yeah,
Paul.
Yeah, but I am.
Yeah, but you are. You are, Paul. You are. And your arguing skills are much better than mine. Thank you, Paul.
No, you just said the same point.
Because it's... you've not let me finish the sentence. It's quite a long sentence.
100%, I will stay quiet if you say a new point.
Well, no, I'm going to finish the sentence, and the sentence starts with the bit about you patronising me.
Okay, that's fine. That was old news, yeah.
Okay. So you patronised me 4 times, and you've argued... for about 5 minutes, that Google were hosting jihadi websites,
No, I can add in. That's
Paul.
Not
I'm going to let you go, yeah. Mate. I'm going to let you go because I've got polite callers who are waiting and won't talk rubbish like you.
More from you.
Okay, Paul. Thanks.
More from you.
Okay, Paul.
Terrible.
I. There we go. And he's hung up again. Let's go to Cleo. Hey, Cleo.
Lord of bloody mercy, that
the point I was trying to make was, let me make this point, he patronised me 5 times, and he was arguing about servers as opposed to hosting as opposed to listing, and then he said he just simply wanted to put forward some facts. Well, hang on a second, what do you want?
Oh, good God. I actually just wanted to talk to Kath.
Tough. It doesn't work like that, mate. It's not Kath's show.
It's a shame it doesn't work like that.
Okay, Cleo was letting me...
Anyway, never mind, Ian. Have a good night.
I am. I'm having a great night. What a nasty man. What a rude, rude man. He wanted to have a go at Kath. I'm not having that. What a rude man. The point I was making, Cleo...
Yes.
He was saying he just wanted to talk facts about the watch list. Now, if he had got such a simple fact wrong as him saying that Google... host... Hang on a minute. Yes, line one?
Hello?
Hang on a minute. Right, you go. I'm flipping it. If he got such a simple fact wrong, Cleo, about hosting as opposed to listing, which is a huge, simple thing, then I was unsure if I was going to believe any of his facts.
Exactamundo.
We've only got 2 minutes, and I've been on for absolutely ages, and I can only apologise, mate. Go.
Well, what I'll do, I'll keep it very brief, obviously.
Yes. Well, I don't know if that's possible for you, but try.
Well, I'll try. You've got Dan on tomorrow, haven't you?
Yes, Dan Aykroyd's on tomorrow. Yes.
Little story.
Uh-oh.
He was in the Northeast.
Yes.
Filming a film up in the borders, actually, near Scotland. And
for some obscure reason, he yes. witnessed a Harrier jet crash, and he reported it, right? Then, within that same week, he came to Sunderland, and was in a, this is no word of a lie, a yes. beer shop, buying a homebrew kit.
Yeah, what, Dan Aykroyd?
Yes.
Yeah.
And bags of sweets for his kids. And I found, this is like in the 90s, this was like big in Sunderland. And I found the news report. It's very brief.
Yes.
You like it. Started us. At first, they were not very sure whether it was really a Hollywood superstar, but his minder later confirmed it was indeed the man himself on a brief visit through the Northeast. Repeated screenings of the closed-circuit television camera security system at the shop also appeared to confirm the visitor was one of the legendary Blues Brothers, Dan Aykroyd.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dan Aykroyd, he's coming on the show tomorrow. Cleo, I'm going to move on because I want to squeeze Alan in. Yes, Alan?
Hello, how are you, Ian?
I'm all right, thank you, Alan. What you got?
Well, it's Alan who phoned up last week, who took my daughter and...
Oh, mate, we've got literally 70 seconds. I was hoping you were going to call in. You went to the concert. How was it?
It was fantastic,
mate. It was your daughter and your nephew, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. My disabled nephew, yes.
Did they enjoy it?
We loved it, mate. It was absolutely phenomenal.
Fantastic. What was the highlight of the day for them?
The highlight of the day was just going to the concert and coming out of there and being safe, mate.
And how did you feel? Did you relax at all?
I felt 100%. I said to my partner before I went, if anything happens to me, as long as I get them kids back out of there, that's it. That's all, Ian.
You're a good man, Alan. And how old's your daughter and how old's your nephew?
She's 16 and my nephew's 15.
Absolutely. Well, you've bought their memories, Alan. They've got a bucket full of memories. I'm sorry it was so brief, but... thank you. I'm glad you called, because I was hoping you'd call in. That wasn't what I expected. No.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking.